like that. He'll have a talk show.
Hello, Don and Mike. CBS will hire him.
Yeah, of course.
Hell, they'll hire him for Morning Drive on NEW. Hey, it's Blasphemy to the Morning. Good morning, everybody. Let's go to Manuel Noriega right now for that Big Apple traffic. Baby Doc on Rock with Sports, what's happening? This is Blasphemy to the Morning. And if you don't like my show, I'm going to shoot you.
Stay tuned for the Gaddafi test.
The Don and Mike Show.
From the heart of my bottom bowl, listening to this frequency wherever you are.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Friday night, we went out to dinner because, as a family, because Friday night was our fifth anniversary, even though we've been married for 18 years.
Right.
5 years ago, my wife and I renewed our vows,
right.
And this, of course, it gives her an opportunity to have two anniversaries every year.
Right, of course. Very, very pleasurable.
So Friday night, we went out to dinner. Wonderful time. Just a boy, my wife, and me. We sit at the table, have a nice bottle of wine, nice conversation. So all my wife wanted to talk about on Friday night at this what was supposed to be a nice romantic dinner, even though my son was there, all she wanted to talk about was,
"Hi, this is Frida. I'm not the breadwinner in my family."
Was she wanted to talk about that because she was excited about it, or she wanted to talk about it because you were making fun of it? Like,
No. Yes and no to both.
Okay.
What she said is, she said, "I really think I should recut that commercial." And I said, "Why? It's fine the way it is. You know, my wife had a commercial." She said, "Now I've heard it on the radio."
Right.
"And now when I hear it, I think, you know what? You're right. I am using, like, my fake disc jockey voice.
A little lower than normal." Hi, this is Frida. I'm not the breadwinner. Is Wally Cleaver there? He come down with something." Unexpected.
So that's...
it's working great, Beef.
That's all we did Friday night. We're sitting at dinner, and we're just going around the table with this. Listen, honey, the spot is fine. "Well, if the spot is really fine, why did you poke fun at it?" I said, "Well..."
She puts as much care into her commercial production work as you and I do, and I think that's good.
Oh, please. Mike, I hope it never gets out.
I know.
How awful we are at cutting commercials.
I know. We are there. We actually do it while we're still walking.
Yeah.
They just bring the microphones to us, chase you down the hall.
So we're going round and round. She said, "I think I should go back to the radio station." At one point she said, "This is about 8:30 on Friday night." My wife says, "Will you drive me to the station now? I'd like to go in now to recut the commercial." I said, "Honey, that's the last place I want to be. I just got out of there on Friday night because I really think I need to recut the commercial." So that was our big second anniversary.
Did she end up recutting it?
No, she did not. But that was a whole focus of our unofficial anniversary dinner on Friday night.
Because if the client likes it and the sales guy likes it, you know.
No, they all like it fine.
You know, no complaints.
You're done.
"All right. This is Frida."
That's why she wants to redo it.
"I'm not the breadwinner, but I do know a few things about cars."
And at one point it was funny because I was doing it and Bart was doing it.
Right. Mrs. Cleaver.
She was not amused. So Saturday, now here's something that any parents with teenagers can relate to. Saturday, my kid had a football game, a freshman football game that they were playing in Butt Scratch, Maryland, an hour and a half away. And we were, of course, going to go to the game and watch him play because we're concerned parents. And it was my only chance this year to see him play since they play most of the games in the afternoon.
Right.
Well, he says about 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, "Dad, I want to go see the varsity team play. They play a big game today." I said, "Okay, what time is it?" He said, 1 o'clock. And this was at his school, which is obviously much closer to our house.
So this is the main event. This is the high school football game.
Right. And I said, "Okay, do you want to be dropped off? Are you going to have friends there or what?" And he says, "Dad, would you go with me?" And I said, I would like nothing better.
Right.
You know, great time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. High school football is the best.
So we get all of our stuff done, all of our chores done. We say goodbye to mommy. We get in the car. We drive to the school. We wait in line. We park the car. We hike up to the field.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we get there, he says, Dad, let's sit right here. And I say, okay. And I realize that there's a large group of people sitting in the bleachers. And
right.
He's put us way off in this corner by ourselves.
Okay.
And then we sit down, and the game starts, and he says, Dad, I'll be right back. And he leaves.
Mm.
And he's gone. He's gone 15 minutes. And I look out of the corner of my eye, and I see that he's ditched me, and he's over there with a bunch of his friends.
So that was the real reason?
It was a last-minute audible on his part. Now,
okay.
I'm sitting by myself watching a game in which my kid's not playing in.
You right? Really have no interest
whatsoever. And I'm just sitting there with my arms folded, and I'm looking out of the corner of my eye because I don't want to embarrass my kid.
Right.
But I'm thinking, I should really just walk over there and say to him,
but you were doing this with me, you dear old dad.
I'm going home. So finally, 20 minutes later, he sees me, like, giving him the hairy eyeball, and I give him the old nod, like, hey, come on, back over here, come here.
Right.
So I see him leave his friends, and he goes underneath the bleachers and comes over and hides, and he goes, hi, Dad. Hey, do you mind? I'm going to sit with my friends. And I said, no, that's okay. I don't mind. You should have told me that from the beginning, though, that I would have just...
Did he know his friends were going to be there?
No.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is the thing. He got there, sat down with me as far away from everybody as he possibly could.
Right.
Then as soon as he saw his friends...
He gravitated to them.
He just ditched me. No, he said, Dad, I'm going to go to the bathroom or get a hot dog, whatever he said.
Right.
20 minutes later, I see him over there just chatting it up with his friends. So I said, well, okay, listen, I guess if you could sit with me for a few minutes, you know, till the end of the first quarter, then you could go back with your friends. And then very begrudgingly goes, all right. And he sits down with me, and I can tell he's so uncomfortable.
I don't know how I am going to handle that.
I said,
my kids get to be that age.
I said, listen, you know what?
That is amazing.
Just go. Just go be with your friends.
You have to do that, because if you don't do that, you risk further, you know, heart
right.
stomping.
Right. I said, listen, just go. Just go ahead.
Oh, I know you don't want to have anything to do with your father.
I'll see you tonight at your game. Goodbye. And he walks away, and he gets halfway there, and he turns around, and I think, you know what?
Gonna get a little wave or something?
That's my boy.
Yeah.
He turns around and he says, when you leave, go out that way. Meaning, don't walk by him and his friends when I leave. Walk out the back way so that, like, nobody sees me. I get the big okay side.
Okay,
I got ya.
Very good. Thanks, son. Your father, the elephant man, will be leaving now.
I got ya. So I get in the car and I call my wife up and I go, well, that was a pretty great father-son day. He just ditched me for his friends and made me leave the back way. And my wife says, you think that's bad? That I guess the weekend before, on Friday night, he had been to a dance.
Right.
A school dance. And when my wife arrived to pick him up,
mm-hmm.
she actually made the cardinal sin of getting out of the car and walking into the auditorium. And that from 50 yards away, he screamed at her, get out! Here.
Oh,
and they came over and, like, started ragging on her for actually walking in.
Oh, boy.
You know, he's got that,
oh, dear.
That whole thing going.
Separation thing. You know, it begins as separation anxiety, and then it's separation anxiety. But they always talk about separation anxiety. My two-year-old's going through that right now. When you leave the room or you leave to go somewhere or a babysitter comes over, they pitch a fit.
Right.
It's called separation anxiety. Then they get to Bart's age, and it's separation anxiety of a different kind. If you're not separated, there's anxiety.
Right. So we go, okay, you know, see you later. I leave. I go back home. And meanwhile, he's at school all day because he watches the varsity team play with his friends.
Right.
And then he was supposed to be there at 3 o'clock anyway to get on the bus to go to this other school where he's going to play in his freshman game.
Right.
At about 6:30 on Saturday night. So we head all the way to Charles County.
Mm.
I mean, it's way butt scratch Maryland.
Pretty women, though.
We get there.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing but Mike.
You bet.
And handsome guys.
Absolutely. Handsome men, good looking. Handsome people. Good stock out there.
And can I tell you something? Really smart people.
Absolutely. The smartest.
Really smart, because we got lost and we had to stop a couple of times for directions.
Right.
Never met friendlier.
Right.
Smarter people.
And the convenience of auto body painting within every square block.
So we get to this school where Bart's going to be playing this game at. And of course, the other side, because it was their school,
right?
Even though it's a freshman game, it's pretty full of fans. On the side where we're supposed to go to, there's maybe like 13 people who have come out to watch these kids play, right? Right. So
it's the way it always was when, you know, traveling.
Right. So what my wife does is she likes sitting with the women and blah, blah, blah. They're talking and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I was actually very close to being on the sidelines. Right. I was standing just behind the side. They got the field and they got the running track that goes around the field.
Close to realizing another one of your fantasies, of course, to be a head professional football coach.
And I'm standing there with a couple of other dads. And we're watching the game. And it was a great game. And Bard by no means is a star athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But he did get to start the game. And he actually made a tackle.
Right.
So I was very proud.
Uh-huh.
But again, I get the brush off when at one point I'm standing maybe 20 feet behind him. Okay? And he's just made a tackle. And all the kids have gone, hey, Bard, Bard. And they're slapping him on the helmet. And somebody comes off the field.
Right.
Like I said, my kid's not a star on this team. So he made a good play. And they're all making a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing looking at him, and I go, hey, Barty. And I know he can hear me, but he's not turning around. I go, hey, Barty. Again, he won't turn. I'm so twisted. I go, hey, Bart. He turns around, and he goes like this. He just goes, puts out, you ever get that move, like, talk to the hand?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that thing where he just goes.
He's really going through it. He's right at the point of it right now.
Right. Yeah.
That'll mellow probably.
Right. So then I give him this thing. I go, I give him the old, you, here, now.
Sure.
I give him that.
Rightly so.
I go, listen. I'm just trying to give you some encouragement, okay? And he goes, Dad, you are embarrassing me. And I said, I'm standing here with all the other dads. They're all yelling stuff. Dad, you're embarrassing me. I went, okay, cool. You know,
it's got to rip your heart into you, man. That
fine.
Is got to be so hard.
God, and I mean,
it's normal, though.
I was not standing right on top of the action.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, pardon me for getting excited when my kid made a play in the game.
Right.
Right?
You know what? I think I remember it. Do you remember it? I mean, what it is really is you want your folks there. You want your parents there. But at that age, he's what, 13 now?
14.
He's 14 now?
15 next March.
He's right at that point now where he still wants you there, but he doesn't want to have
right.
any contact. I mean, no contact
and
with
it
you.
Was really incredible that as soon as this little scene got done, all these other dads came up, and it was like all of a sudden, like the first wives club, where they all come up and they go,
yeah, mine
hey,
does that too.
Guess what? Welcome to the club.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
My son wouldn't even talk to us the whole way up in the car.
I don't know how you handle that. Obviously, you're handling it.
No,
I mean,
no,
you're
it's
able
fine.
To, it just would drive me nuts.
Listen, I just remember how much I hated my parents when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, my parents never came to anything I did, so I never
right.
had that problem.
Right.
But I hated him. I'm pretty sure he likes us okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, he's got this thing around his friends and stuff. So
right,
that,
right, right.
That's cool. But then the wackiest thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's the very end of the game, and Bart's team is winning 30-0.
Right.
Okay? So the whole team's getting in. They're all playing. Everything's great. Well, the coach of Bart's team could not be a nicer man.
Right.
He's an old dude with gray hair.
Right.
Type of coach who just wears a floppy hat.
Yeah.
Doesn't yell a lot.
Right.
You know, he gets mad when they did stuff wrong, but generally doesn't yell at them. Well, the other coach for the other team, he's one of these guys. He's wearing the running suit on the sideline.
Oh,
he's one of these guys. You hear him. And we were all the way on the other side of the field. You
right.
hear him going, yes. Are you going to be offside in this game? And he's like one of these screaming guys.
Oh, I hate that.
Okay? So they're losing. They're getting killed. 30-0. End of the game. They're out there. The other team has the ball. The quarterback goes down, set. And all of a sudden, everybody on the field, all the guys on Bart's team, all the guys on the other team, they look over towards the other sideline where there's a fight. What has happened is this coach has taken one of his players out of the game. The kid comes over, punches the coach.
Ooh.
Punched the coach?
Punched the coach.
Wow. And then you got a melee.
Oh, my God.
You got at this point,
took a poke at the coach.
Punched him in the stomach.
Oh.
At this point, the referees are out there, and they're trying to get the kids to play football. None of the kids wanted to play. They're all just standing there watching this fight.
Oh, my God.
And at first, we didn't know what was going on. You just
right.
saw a big group, and it was like any fight where you hear like, rah, rah.
Oh, wow.
And then one of the linesmen goes over, and he says, you see that? I said, no, I didn't see what happened. He said, Number 82, or whatever the kid's number is, just took a swing at the coach.
Oh, my God.
And then he said, Jesus, what a mess. And then he said, not the first time this happened this year.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Hey, maybe it's time to rethink the coach, you know.
Oh, yeah. My God.
That's pretty intense. You hear about that, and it's weird to be at something like that.
No, how wacky was that?
Oh, man.
Right, and then so we're discussing that. Bart graciously agreed to drive home with us rather than take the bus.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah, he realized probably a little tired, needed the transportation.
With his friends. So we stopped at a Subway on the way home to get him a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was just the cap to a perfect evening. That's certainly not his fault. He didn't do anything wrong behavior-wise.
Right.
We're standing in the middle of Subway. He has on his football pants, and he's got on a T-shirt. And he had no shoes on or anything. We're standing in line waiting to make our sandwich order to the retard that's working behind the counter who really, I don't know, I mean, this guy had to be challenged, seriously. This guy, we were waiting for some guy to order a meatball sub, and it was taking this guy 20 minutes to get this thing together.
Pierced eyebrow?
No.
Bart just always likes to check.
Just a dumb guy.
Very good.
So we're just standing there waiting, and all of a sudden, Bart goes, hey, Dad. And I turn and I said, it was like I've had all day of, hey, Dad, hey, Dad.
Right.
I turn and I go, what? And I see a pool of blood on the floor. He goes, I got a bloody nose in the game.
Oh, no.
And then everybody.
There's a bloody nose in the Subway store?
Yes.
Oh, gross.
He has the blood coming out his nose and going down his pants, and it's now forming a big puddle on the floor.
Oh,
and
man.
He says, what do I do? And I say, put your head back. And he goes, no, we learned in school not to do that because that makes the blood go to your stomach. And I said, well, you can't just stand there with a bloody nose.
Pinch your nose, maybe.
So
yeah.
I say to the guy in front of me, excuse me, and the guy thinks I'm cutting in line. I said, no, you can have your sandwich. I just need some napkins. My kid has a bloody nose. And this guy turns around. And I thought he's going to puke. This guy turns around.
You got a real river going.
And there's like 15 people in the Subway. And suddenly, scattered, man. I mean, everybody walked away. You know, and as Bart would get done with each bloody napkin, he would give them to me.
Now he needs you.
Yeah, Dad, I need another napkin. I go, here you go. And he'd give me the other one. And then I would have to hold it like it was very dainty with my pinky out. And I would walk over to the trash can and put it in the trash can.
You want tomatoes on that sandwich?
Yeah. Meanwhile.
Extra ketchup?
All of a sudden, we're getting great service.
Yeah, right.
Because there's nobody else in this place.
Oh, absolutely. Put a pool of blood on the floor in any food or, you know, fast food operation. That'll clear the room pretty quick.
Oh, my God. What a night.
God.
I got in the car and I just said, you know, perfect ending.
Parenthood.
To a perfect day.
Parenthood. It's the greatest thing in the world.
That's what it's about.
It is.
Bloody nose.
Oh, God.
Christ. All over the place.
Yeah, well, you know, at least you didn't get the bloody nose while you were sitting in the bleachers, you know, when he's waiting for his friend.
Yeah.
You know, you combine a couple of those circumstances, could have been a real disaster.
Yeah. You know, and I felt for him, because he was embarrassed, too. He's standing there in the middle of the store, just blood just pouring out of his nose.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody looking at me like I have some kind of diseased child or something. I actually said to one of them, well, look at him.
Right.
Meaning, and I meant like, look, he had football pants on and stuff. He was just in the game, and the guy just looked at him like, ooh, damn, that kid's nose is bleeding like holy sin.
Honey, it's time to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken.
So that was
that
was the weekend.
Fatherhood.
Thank God the games were on yesterday. I was able just to seclude myself yesterday.
Needed a day of rest.
Just seclude myself in the cave and watch the games yesterday. After I got done with doing the Redskins show,
right.
I just came home and watched all the games yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was going to be the big, big winner in fantasy football.
Didn't work.
Really thought I was going to win the money this week because I had Jeff George, who had a great week, and I found out in the last minute that old Charlie Broyhill won the money.
And I think I found out officially that I probably now have the worst fantasy football team in the league. I think it's safe to say that I was, I think I was the low man on the totem pole, right?
11 points.
11 points.
Mm.
No points from my quarterback, no points from my running back.
You had minus points
minus
from your quarterback.
From my quarterback, Jeff Garcia.
Jeff Garcia.
Who I really, you know, this is the first time, I picked him up because I needed a backup. Turns out he is my backup now because Mark Brunell was out and he had a bye week.
Bisexual week.
Which I didn't even know. That's why I started Jimmy Smith. I got to focus. But, you know, I lied about that last week. I said, now that the Red Sox are out of the playoffs, I'm actually going to pay attention. I lied. I didn't pay any attention. Still playing golf. I'm not paying attention at all. It's ridiculous.
Meanwhile, I'm 2-5. Set the world on fire.
But I was Dr. Frankenstein last night. I did a great job. I did a fantastic performance.
Was this at a haunted house?
It was the place where I play golf. They had... They have their haunted house, and for people that that I golf with and their families to come up, and we have this old manor house. It's this abandoned place that we turn into a haunted house. And I was supposed to play Dr. Frankenstein. I was in the second room. Laura was my assistant. She was dressed like Terry Garr in Young Frankenstein.
Oh, really?
And her line was, look.
What she said.
You two with lines.
Look, doctor, the monster is moving. And then I walk over and I say, it's alive. It's alive. It's alive. And
how many times did you two do this?
20. We did about 20, 25 times.
God.
And we do it every time. I come in and they say, Dr. Frankenstein. And then I burst through the door. Well, the first family I burst through the door, as soon as I do this, there's a young one. You know, we figured by the end of the night that maybe 7 years old, 8 years old should be the cutoff age.
Now, were you made up at all for this?
What's that? Yeah, I was totally made up. I had my hair spiked up straight. I had all white face on. I darkened my beard, made it black. And I put dark circles under my eyes. And then I wore an apron that was covered with blood.
Ooh.
And then I had a turtleneck on, and I had white gloves on, too. So I was Dr. Frankenstein. And my little spiel was, well, what am I doing? Why, this is the greatest experiment in the world. I'm taking parts from one body, and I'm sewing them to the next. And I'm creating the monster, the greatest creature in the history of the world. It will cement my reputation as the greatest scientist in the world. And then Laura says, Doctor, I believe the monster is moving. And then I say, it's alive, it's alive. And then the monster, my friend Peter, would chase people out of the room. And by the end of the night, I'm supposed to struggle with him. And he's getting really tired because he's got to get up and down. And he's wearing these super heavy boots with the Frankenstein. And we're wrestling. And at the end of the night.
So you're the doctor. You're not like Herman Munster.
No. Herman Munster is lying on
the
table.
That's your friend who's getting tired.
And I have to dance. I have to wrestle with him. And by the end of the night, it was almost like a little tango. And then they chase other people out into the other room, and then they go through this whole haunted house, and it ends with this like ghoulish wedding at the end of the night. And then they go through a graveyard, and then they take them by golf cart around the clubhouse, and they think it's over, and there are two guys there with chainsaws without blades and like that. But I mean, my voice is shot because we did so many of these things,
so many performances last
night. Worst thing about it, the worst thing about it, because I'm not a baby, because we got a babysitter, because we have a four-year-old, a two-year-old, and I had the makeup on, and Elizabeth was still up when I left, and I said, hello, Elizabeth, and it's like, I said, I'm just a clown. Well, I didn't look anything like a clown. I look like a horror creature, and I said, Daddy's a clown, and then it's like, I can't a clown. That means I'm scared of the clown.
Oh.
So I said, Daddy's all right. And I decided I just have to be in another room. And you know, all I'm hearing is like, Daddy's scary. And so we left. But anybody bringing kids in, under five, because I make a real big entrance. I kick the door open. I'm like, good evening, like that. And I think the second group that came through, I went, good evening. And I hear this, and they have to take the kid out.
Right.
But I mean, it's a haunted house. I think one lady got mad because it was an older lady with a grandkid and came by and she said, my grandson was really really scared, and then she, walked on her way and we're all standing there.
Well, F you.
It's a haunted effing house. Come on.
Dr. Frankenstein just said F you to me.
Well, F you. Don't come back, all right? If you're so scared, if Garson's scared, does the word haunted mean anything to you? Haunted House Halloween. I'm sorry, it's not a comedy show.
We have the break, and we will be back with more after this.
The Don and Mike Show.
While I was trying to figure out why the guy was saying what he was saying, Nikki just hit him. No matter how big a guy might be, Nikki would take him on. You beat Nikki with fists, he comes back with a bat. You beat him with a knife, he comes back with a gun. And if you beat him with a gun, you better kill him, because he'll keep coming back and back until one of you is dead.
Don and Mike are back.
Don and Mike Show, hello.
The only bad thing about the old country buffet is that the food isn't actually cooked.
What do you mean, honey?
The meat is uncooked.
Now, you might have had a bad experience.
I've been there three times.
You've been there three times? I think I might have sat next to you at the Great American Steak and Buffet this weekend.
Oh, I don't live in Virginia.
Are you you don't live in Virginia?
No.
Okay. Would you be a woman of a larger carriage?
I'm a big woman.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Big woman.
Right, maybe
I know
someone,
my food, sir.
Maybe it was somebody who looked like you.
Well.
Yeah. Well, what did you want to say there, honey?
Oh, the food from the old country buffet is food you get other food with.
I've never had food at the Old Country buffet that was not cooked.
Hmm.
Always been cooked.
Perhaps it's the different state.
That's, hey, you know what?
Sure.
You're as good as your manager. You're as good as your manager. I mean, that's what I would believe. You're as good as your manager.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Now all of your people are calling in.
I welcome them, Don. I welcome them all.
Don and Mike show.
They're good people.
Yeah,
yeah, pull your General Lee over to the payphone and give us a ring. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, honey.
Hi there.
Hi. Okay. I live in Wichita, Kansas, and I'm
Lady Madonna.
You guys are coming to town.
Baby at your breast. What can we do for you?
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
what?
You know Greg, who works there, like, in your office?
No, we have no one named Greg who works here.
Greg, what is his last name?
Are you confusing where we work the station in Wichita?
No, I listen to you guys all the time.
Oh.
And about a year and a half ago, I called.
What would the last name be?
Oh, what is his last name?
Greg what?
Sherman, sir. Oh, what is it?
Honey, really, we have no one named Greg that works on this show.
Yes, you do. He works in the morning show.
Oh, that Greg.
Yeah, he goes to work at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, and you know that, Greg?
Yes. I've been talking to him for like a year and a half.
Oh, Jesus.
He's the board operator for the morning show.
Yeah, he does the commercials and stuff.
Yeah, he does the commercials.
Yeah.
Those fantastic commercials.
Yeah.
All right, now let me just inform the audience that we're about to go into a dangerous area now.
Yes.
Because what's happened is, for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
this lady from Wichita calls our toll-free number, which rings in the studio, obviously in the 20 hours a day that we're not here.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm guessing is that when you called, and why you would call our number in the morning, I don't know.
Well, no. About a year and a half ago, I called.
Yeah?
My friend Rose and I called to see if you guys were going to come on Saturday, to work on Saturday.
Okay.
Well, he answered the phone, and we started talking to him. He had kind of like a sexy voice.
And a friendship blossomed?
Yes.
Ah, good.
Very much so.
Uh-huh. Has there been...
And since you guys are coming to Wichita...
I would agree with that sexy voice part.
Maybe you guys could bring him with you.
Bring Greg Edger with us?
He does know I'm calling. If he knows I call, he will kick my
butt. You know, here's a funny thing, really. Don, how many times have I told you when we go on the road,
constantly.
Is there any chance we can take Greg Edger?
Bring Greg Edger with us.
Maybe to do some of our production elements.
Has he ever asked you to?
John Pop is entering the studio. The producer for the G. Gordon Liddy program.
Here he is.
Incredible!
Hi, Johnny.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to let you know that I've been coming in early lately because of different reasons, and I've fielded many calls from this young lady looking for Mr. Edger.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes. So I recognized her voice the second I heard her on.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
apparently, they're good friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
John, thank you.
All right.
John, how good would you classify good friends?
I'd say very close chums.
Would you say intimate?
I don't know about that. I couldn't get anything out of Greg. He was very tight-lipped about it, so to speak.
Thank you, Johnny. So you call all the time to talk to this guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
I call him before I go to work, and then...
Do you do sex talk?
You would like to know. No.
Yes, we would.
We don't do sex talk.
No, come on. Did you do something close to sex talk?
Well, I'm not saying anything.
Let me say, is it ever romantic?
Not really.
Has he ever asked you to describe yourself?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And have you ever asked him to describe himself?
Yeah.
Have you ever talked about your body?
Like, yeah, I told him what my body looks like.
Great. Right. Uh-huh. Has he ever said, hey, well, I wish we could get together? Has that ever...
Well, I've been wanting to come down and see him.
You've been wanting to come down and
yeah.
see him? And has
we've
he,
been kind of talking about
has he encouraged
really,
that
but,
behavior?
Huh?
Has he encouraged that behavior?
Well, I don't know.
Well, he kind of has, right?
Well, you know, he wouldn't mind meeting me.
Sure,
you know?
Of course. Right.
Yes. Yes, hold on. Yes, Professor Spiewak has a question also.
No, just to let the record reflect and to restate that the reason she first started talking to Greg is that he had a sexy voice. So I think we know what she's after.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Sure.
Well, my friend Rose talked to him, too.
Oh, yes.
So.
Rose.
Ah, sweet
Maybe
Rose.
It could be a little Edger sandwich.
Well, I think that this is slightly pathetic that you're calling a radio station at odd times of the day and you're talking to guys. Let me just hip you.
No, I did call him like at odd times when I first met him.
With no offense to Greg Edger,
right.
who is a fine employee, generally the guys who are board operators at radio stations, and I include all of the guys that are running the board for us now.
Board operators and production workers.
All of those guys, they generally are the biggest friggin' losers in the world.
He is not.
They are guys. I told you. I'm not saying that about your sweetie.
Nice guy.
I'm saying that other than your sweetie, Greg Edger, most board ops are total losers.
He's not. He's the real enchilada.
But the rest of them.
My husband even knows about them.
All the rest. Oh, your
husband?
Yeah.
All the rest of them are guys who can't get real jobs in radio.
Husband?
He does a very good job.
Like, now, wait a minute. What are you doing flirting with a board operator while you're married?
My husband flirts, too.
Really? You have an open relationship? Do you have an
Does
open
your husband
relationship?
Flirt with Greg Edger?
No, he does not.
You know what?
Hold on, honey. I'm going to have to call Greg now. Ah, very good.
I'm just going to have to call him. Greg Edger.
Oh, I don't.
Hey, where's the phone list?
To the witness stand.
I've only got the inside numbers here. Like, what
very lonely here in the morning.
I guess so. Jesus.
You know, you're not doing the show. You're playing someone else's show. And, you know, probably a lot of time on his hands.
I guess he does have
to chat.
I want to say
sure.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a mess this is. Are you getting that number?
Rob is.
Robbie's getting the number.
Okay.
And like I say, I stand by my earlier statement.
Yes.
The generally, whoever is a board op is someone who, for whatever reason, can't make it in radio. And they're hanging on. It's like they're on a cliff. And they're hanging on by their fingernails. They're like fingernails down a chalkboard.
Mm-hmm.
They're that close from being out of radio.
Sure.
Thank you, Buzzy.
Here's the number.
Look at that. Hey, you know what that is? That is two victories for you,
That's
Buzzy.
That's two for two for you today.
How about me,
huh? Hold that up again, please, Buzzy.
All right.
Hold that up. And Rob, I'll give you some attention also, but Buzz beat you.
Yes, he did.
Beaten by an old man, Robbie.
That will change.
You have reached 301. Okay. Sorry no one's here to answer your call at this time, but if you leave your name and number, we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
It is a sexy voice.
Hey, honey, go ahead. I've just dialed his home number. Leave him a message.
Oh, hi, Greg. This is Ruth. Give me a call. Well, you don't got my number, so I'll call you tomorrow. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Greg, it's Don and Mike.
What's
up? Not a loser.
You have phone sex with this girl, Greg?
Greg, we took a call from her, and she wanted to speak to only you, and we hear a baby in the background. Is it yours?
No. My baby's sleeping.
No, did Greg Edger father that baby?
No, he did not father that baby.
Okay, yours is sleeping. Whose baby are you taking care of?
I babysit.
Oh, you babysit.
Did you speak to Greg this morning?
Yes, I did.
You did? What did you two speak about this morning?
Oh, nothing. Really, about the kids.
Did you speak about your body?
No, I did not speak about my body.
When's the last time you spoke to Greg about your body?
I think it was yesterday.
Yeah. How old is that other child in your charge?
Huh? How old is my baby?
Yeah, the baby you're taking care of.
Oh, she is going on three.
Going on three.
And what does your body look like?
Oh, gosh. Okay. I'm not, like, really skinny or anything.
Tell me the same way you tell him.
I just told him that I'm not that thin. I'm muscular. Mm-hmm. I have a little pooch.
A little pooch?
Yes, I haven't lost all my baby weight yet.
Oh, you have like a kangaroo sack.
A punch.
Yes.
A punch, yes.
A pooch.
So.
And what about your measurements, honey?
Oh, gosh.
What? I'm not asking you anything that Greg hasn't asked you already.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is like on national air here.
Honey, you called us. And you know what? Hold on. Before you answer that, all of this is still being recorded on Greg Edger's answering machine. So let's just take this opportunity to say, Greg, we were just trying to hook you up with the girl who you talk with every morning.
Yes, you know her as That's the Truth, Ruth.
Ruth, would there be anything you'd like to say to Greg before we disconnect with him?
No, not really.
How about just a farewell or something? Say something nice.
Can he come to with you guys to Wichita?
Greg, can you come to Wichita?
Can you please bring him? Because I'd really love to see him.
But what about your husband?
I told my husband. I talked to my husband last night about it.
And? What did you tell
him? He said, that's fine. He said he can come down. He doesn't care.
Huh. Did you tell your husband you want to have sex with Greg?
No, but it's not like that.
But it could be.
No, I wouldn't let it. No, I wouldn't let it be that.
Oh, you wouldn't? Okay.
No. Well,
good for you.
What if he forced himself on you?
I don't know.
Hold on a second. This might be Greg calling us now. The hotline is ringing right now. Hold on there. And Greg, on your answering machine. See you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hold on.
Is this him?
Oh, no.
Is it Greg? Greg? Okay. Yeah. Let me handle this first. Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Listen, we're just answering our phones.
Don, you're dogging me, man.
No, listen. This girl called us, and she asked to speak to you.
Okay.
She called us, and she asked to speak to Greg. We said, we don't have anybody named Greg who works on this show. And
right.
She says, no, in the morning. And we said, well, there is a Greg who works here in the morning, but it couldn't be the same guy. And she said, no, that you're the board op for the morning show. And that she calls you all the time.
Do you know the name of Ruth?
Yeah, she calls.
Okay. Hey, can you do something for me, Greg?
I'm just very polite, guys.
Hey, Greg?
That's what it's about. I'm a very polite guy, yes.
Can
yes.
you do something just for me? Can you say Don Pablo's the real enchilada?
Hey, I heard that. That's pretty good. That was a nice little, you know, minuet you put in there, Mike. That was cool.
Nice all little right. minuet.
Hold on.
Greg's the real enchilada.
Here is Ruth now. Ruth, here is your dream boat. Board operator Greg Edger. Ruth?
Yes, I'm here.
Ruth, here he is. He's on the line, honey.
Hello?
Greg. Hello?
I can barely hear.
Really?
You got to really speak up, Ruth, so Greg can hear you.
Greg?
Yes?
They're not going to let you come to Wichita because they're mean.
They're not going to let me come to Wichita?
Yeah.
Why are we mean?
Huh?
Why is that why you called?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hey, listen, you stinky hoe. Why are we mean?
You're not mean. I'm just teasing you.
You know, if he really wants to come to Wichita, he could probably come on his own without us.
No.
And, Greg, you'll be interested to know she's already run this idea by her husband.
And her husband says it's okay with him.
Well, you know, I'm not that easy.
Oh.
She told us that you've asked about her body. So did we. We were about to find out how big her boobs are.
No.
I'm just very polite. You know, I want to be cordial. I'm just very polite.
Very polite.
It's not like we have a thing going on. We just talk.
Hey, yeah, thank you.
She told us you guys talked yesterday, and you talked about her body yesterday.
Well, he asked what I look like.
Right.
You know, so
and
I
said you were muscular with a little pooch.
Okay, but Don.
Yes,
Greg. How long did she say we've been talking?
A year and a half.
Okay, and just yesterday I asked her about her body, man. Come on.
Come on,
you know,
Dan.
I'm not that interesting.
Oh, no, there's a...
Come on, Dan.
Well, listen, then why don't you let her down easy, Greg? Is there any chance for you and
I mean,
Ruth?
I would take a free trip to Wichita, man.
Oh, no, I'm not giving. I'm not giving, but why don't you just let her down easy? Is there any chance for Ruth to be the next Mrs. Greg Edger?
Ruth is married. The next
married.
Ex of Greg Edger? No.
Happily married.
Yes, she's married.
Is this true, Greg? You've been married 3 times already?
No, not 3 times.
How many times have you been married?
Once.
Oh,
hold
one.
On, Charlie. Do you have other information?
I thought it was 3, Greg.
No, man. I have 3 kids.
Oh, I misunderstood.
All from different women?
Yes.
Oh!
You're the man.
Wow.
You're the man with your fertile seed.
Man, oh, man. Well, I guess you know, this woman takes care of lots of kids, so it'd probably be a perfect match. If you just get her pesky husband out of the way.
Uh-oh.
Listen, Greg, we're only calling you because we had no idea what she was talking about.
Okay.
And we'd appreciate it if you could keep your phone hose from calling us in the future.
I'm sorry.
Control your women, Greg.
I'm sorry, guys.
You got it. All right, thank you, Greg.
All right, later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Well, Ruth, there you go. There's your man.
Yes, whatever.
Oh, you hear that in their voice. You know, that's the sound of a woman who realizes that it's over.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, no more of the fantasy.
I am married.
The fantasy is over, Ruth.
There is never a fantasy.
Oh, sure there was. Ruthie?
There was not a fantasy.
You know what Greg is now?
My friend Rose was the one who had the fantasy.
He's ruthless. Get it? He's without Ruth. He's ruthless.
Yes, sir.
His babe Ruth.
She's gone. She's gone.
His baby Ruth.
Okay.
She's out of my life. All right, Ruth, listen, I don't want you calling Greg anymore. You hear me? I don't want you to call him anymore.
Why not?
He's very busy. He's barely holding on to this job here.
Okay.
Okay? He doesn't need to be distracted by horny housewives from Wichita calling him at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I am not a horny housewife.
Oh, honey, you're the horniest housewife I've talked to today.
Less time on the phone and more time tending to those children.
Okay. Well,
for God's sakes.
Who's that with the tuberculosis in the background
that's
there?
My husband.
Oh, my God.
For God's sakes, call a local disc jockey if you want to get laid. Don't call one from Washington, D.C.
No, it wasn't like that.
Oh,
it wasn't.
Sure.
We were calling.
calling to see if you guys were going to be on the air one Saturday.
Right, and I understand that. A year and a half ago, one phone call. But how many times have you called them since? 100?
There's more to the story.
Yes, we know. But
yes, of course there is. You've struck up a friendship with him.
Yes.
Yes.
Nothing good can come of this, Ruth.
I know. We're
just yes.
Phone pals, I guess.
And you know, you ought to tend to those children and take care of your ailing husband who's hacking away on the sofa.
Why don't you put your old man on the phone?
That's a good idea.
An excellent idea.
No, honey.
Now, let me talk to him.
They want to talk to you. He doesn't want to talk.
Is he smoking?
No, he doesn't smoke.
What, has he just got a chest cold?
Yeah.
Ask him if he doesn't want to talk to the guys who are going to help him straighten out his marriage.
I mean, they want to know if you want to talk to the guys who want to help me straighten out our marriage. He said he don't have a problem with his marriage.
Tell him he does, because you're calling Greg Edger every morning.
I am not.
Is your husband part of the proud 4%?
Huh?
Is your husband part of the proud 4% who choose not to work in this country?
He works.
Oh, he works. Uh-huh. Okay.
He is a painter, and right now it's downpouring. So,
it's downpouring.
It's yes. Downpouring.
It's downpouring outside.
Oh, okay.
I heard Bob Ryan here in Washington, D.C. say that just the other night. We're having some downpouring.
All right, honey. Well, listen, don't call Greg anymore, please. He really needs to concentrate on his job, and there's no future for you with him. He's just too polite to tell you that.
You really ought to, you know, especially if you're babysitting, pay attention to your baby, the kids you take care of, and, and Cooter.
You are just a plaything to him. You're just a ball of yarn to him.
Well, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Edger wields his penis like the Three Musketeers did their swords.
Okay.
You hear me?
Yes, nothing good can come of this. It would simply be heartbreak. Heartbreak okay. And another mouth to feed.
He would simply take out his penis and make a giant Z on you. You know, like Zorro. You know?
Okay.
Like that.
Oh, man.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ruth.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
Glad we could help.
Bye.
Bye.
There she goes.
She was a whore.
Now, if she had an affair with Buzz, that would be something. Then it would be Ruth and Buzzy.
Oh, and of course, you know, here's Dennis Murphy.
Hello, Gone Hans. How are you doing?
Hey, Dennis.
Congratulations.
And what?
Oh, on your New York gig.
Oh, thank you, Dennis. Uh-huh. Yes, we're very proud of that.
Thank you. Well, I'm calling to Wichita. Let me meet Ruth.
It's always, always, always about you.
About me.
Yes, it is. Dennis, she's married. She has kids.
Oh, okay.
Besides, she's already been virtually having sex with Greg Edger. God yeah. knows how many other disc jockeys she's calling and having phone sex with.
Probably 110 more.
Right. You don't want to be the last member of that train.
You don't need that heartbreak. Yeah, you don't need that heartbreak.
Don't need that, Dennis.
Okay.
All right.
Congratulations on New York gig, and I'm off the show, right?
You're off the show?
Yeah.
Yes, Dennis, finally. I guess you realize it now.
Right.
Okay.
Why do you say that?
Why are you saying that, Dennis?
It looks like you're going to live in New York.
We are going to be in New York 3 days a week.
But, God, you know you're going to be there eventually full time.
No, Dennis, I made a commitment to my family. I'm not moving.
Okay. Okay.
I made no such commitment, Dennis. I will be moving.
He's not moving either. We're staying here, Dennis.
Okay.
We're just going to be up there 3 days a week.
Okay.
Now, you play your cards right, and don't call every time some piece of ass is on the telephone, and maybe you'll be able to come to New York someday.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We'll draw straws for whose room you stay in.
Me and
Rob A
have a room.
Ah, Rob A. Of course. The chosen one. You are the chosen one.
Of course. His buddy Rob A.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
Of course, I'll be on top.
What the hell that means? All right, goodbye, Dennis.
Again, congratulations.
All right, you said it all.
Thank you.
Have a pleasant day.
Mike.
What?
I still love you.
I love you, Dennis.
And what's that buffet again? Old Country Buffet?
Come on, goodbye.
Okay. Have a pleasant day, Don.
Thank you, Dennis.
Adios.
Bye.
There he goes like the wind.
There he is. All I can say about that is,
blah.
They got it. Dennis Murphy.
Blah.
We'll be back with much more show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, I want everybody together to go ahead and say, penis, 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 vagina, vagina, vagina. Come on, y'all, say it.
happen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
I just found out about this videotape moments ago, and I really wanted to watch it on the air, but it just got the big ixnay from Handsome Ken Stephens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a videotape that all CBS employees are required to watch.
Yes.
And the reason we found out about this was that, you know, Tammy, our wonderful promotions gal?
She's the best in the business.
The best.
And not to mention, she's goddamn hot.
She's a very, very attractive woman.
Mm-hmm. When she came into the office today to discuss some good stuff she has for the show, she comes in and, you know, she says, here's what we have to give away. Do you want to give the stuff away? When she came in, she said, she always greets us. Very, very, we have a very close relationship with Tammy. It's always like, hi, honey.
Yeah.
Hi, sweetie. Then she came in and she said, mind if I sit on your lap? Mm-hmm. And I said, sure. And she said, oh, but that might be sexual harassment.
Yeah, she was saying it to set that up.
And then she went to Mike and she said, maybe I'll sit here on your lap. No. Right. That would be sexual harassment.
And I think I said, why all the sexual harassment talk today? What's going on? And then she mentioned that there's a video floating around.
That there's a videotape that everybody in the building is required to watch at some point today.
Including us. We have to watch this.
Wow. And I said, well, great. We'll watch it on the air. So I went down the hall to the new operations manager, you know, Big Gum Jim.
Right.
And I walked in and I said, hey, where's the sexual discrimination, the sexual harassment tape?
Right.
And he said, well,
here it is. It's right here.
Right.
And I said, thank you.
He didn't ask you whether you were going to use it on the air?
No, and I just walked in. He said, when do I get that back? I said, I'll have it back within an hour. See you later. And then in the time that it took me to go down to the office and get the tape and come back to our office, I learned that Big Daddy Mel is actually on the tape giving the introduction where he is sitting at a desk.
Oh, boy.
And he's saying, hi, you know, this is Big Daddy Mel.
Well, then I take it very seriously.
This is an important issue to the company. So then I said,
and I agree with him.
Then I said, you know what? We'll just skip past Big Daddy Mel on the tape.
Right.
And we'll get right to the actors who are showing us what sexual harassment is.
Sounds good. So we would know.
But as it turns out, Handsome Ken has vetoed the entire process.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
I do want to call the lovely Tammy Sachs to find out exactly what's on the tape.
Yeah, so we can find out what we have to look forward to.
And I'd like to know who in this company is boning who. Hi, Tammy.
Hi.
Hi, Tammy.
How are you?
Hello, baby.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Listen to the way she's talking to us.
God damn it. You're hot, Tammy.
Oh, God.
Oh, you're hot. So hot. Oh, I'm getting such a boner talking to you.
Stop it. Stop it, you.
Hi, guys.
Well, listen, before we ask Tammy, what I'd really like to know is who in this company is boning who? Because it's obvious somebody's boning somebody if the company's gone to the time and trouble to produce the videotape that all employees have to watch.
I would imagine that it's not a question of that as much as perhaps they've had a problem with it and they, you know, it's a big company and perhaps they just are trying to get the parameters established so that there is no exposure.
I would bet, if I had to bet, I would bet that the problem was right here.
Right here at our station.
At WJFK. Either at WJFK or at WNEW. We can't comment on the New York station because we won't be there till next week, but I gotta think it's gotta be at one of the stations that we're involved with.
Well, for whatever reason, they're sending this. Tammy, does everybody have to watch this tape?
So I've been told, yes. All employees of the company have to watch.
And you've already had the pleasure of viewing this tape?
I watched it earlier today.
Now, did you watch it with a group of other female employees, or was it male and female together?
No, actually, I watched it by myself, but I know, you know, people will watch it together as a group, and then you may watch it by yourself depending on what your schedule is.
Was the tape a turn-on?
No.
Was it a lengthy tape? How long did it run?
No, honestly, it was about 30 minutes, and it just kind of gave a bunch of descriptions of what can be considered sexual harassment in the workplace. So,
did they show any skin?
No.
No skin?
No skin.
Any employees making out or anything?
No.
Was it mostly comments made and the way people addressed each other?
Exactly. It talked about, you know, things you can and can't say. It gave examples. They kind of went through different skits, and they would discuss it afterwards and say, could this be considered sexual harassment, or is it not, et cetera, and they have a
comment. I wish we could watch that on the air. Different skits.
Different little sketches. What would be a blatant example of, like, a guy saying something to a woman that would be sexual harassment on the tape?
Ah, from the tape itself, you know, hey, I'll, you know, if it was somebody was a supervisor and they said to their employee, you know, if you're with me or if we, you know, start a relationship, et cetera, I'll be more than happy to give you some extra vacation time and some overtime that you've been wanting. And
Really?
That kind of stuff. It's more on that end than the end that you guys would like for it to be.
So it's not like, hey, how are you? Boy, don't you look hot.
Well, some of that was in there. You definitely have to see the tape to get the whole gist of it.
You know, I should say that here at our station here in Washington.
I just have to let this go. I am so turned on by you. I mean that.
God,
you really turned me on. You're so hot. I mean that. You know I mean that, Sammy. God damn it, I want you. But anyway.
You notice she's watched.
Hi, Frida. I love you.
See, she's watched the tape now. She's not responding in kind at all.
I value my job here. I can't say anything anymore.
You know, I should say.
I can protect you, Tammy.
Everybody here goes back and forth. There are a lot of people that are use terms of endearment to each other.
In all honesty.
I mean, it really isn't a sexual thing at all.
Not that we haven't wanted it.
Oh, sure, but if we want it, we kind of keep that to ourselves, you know. But it's like a lot of people do that here.
Like, you can't walk down the hallway and say, hi, sweetie, because that could be misinterpreted by certain people.
That was really on the tape?
Well, I mean, they didn't say that one, but they just, you know, talked about terms of endearment, but that is one. You shouldn't go around saying, hi, hon, hi, babe, hi, sweetie, so.
Do you think you're overreacting to this tape?
Am I?
Because you're one of the greatest sweetie givers.
I just want to be honest. I mean, that's what the tape was all about. It's just, you know, I'm just kind of recapping it for you.
Tammy, I just want
to
say.
I'm not going to say hi, babe, to you when I see you in the hallway.
There you go. God. All right. That's good. Because that's your style.
God, I'm going to have to sit down soon. Really, I'm getting so turned on by this entire conversation.
You won't have to worry about the company at all. You're going to have to worry about that company at the, you know, that you wake up with every morning.
No, see, Frida and Tammy are good friends.
I know they are.
Tammy is probably the safest person for me to do this gag, wink, wink with.
She's not calling me on my direct line. Hold on one second.
She's the safest. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Miss Sachs.
You're welcome. Bye, Mr. Geronimo, Mr. O'Meara.
Always a pleasure, and you're doing a fine job. Keep up the wonderfully professional job.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I think she's reacting to it because she's really one of the. That's the way Tammy talks to people. I mean, it's always, they're very nice.
I got another question. Let me call Handsome Ken.
Handsome Ken Stevens.
Yeah. Good.
Who's in the building today, and hey, you know, I might have said the other day that was funny that somebody would call him Handsome Ken, but when I saw him up close today, I know it's true. He is Handsome Ken Stevens.
Oh, his line's busy. Right. Well, my question for him, whenever he calls back, will be, is there also guy-on-guy sexual harassment? You know, by calling him Handsome Ken Stevens, are we violating the company's new policy?
That's interesting.
When we comment about how tight Ken's buttocks are in his sensible slacks as he walks down the hall.
When we comment on how the particular hue of a color in his tie matches his beautiful bedroom eyes, is that sexual harassment?
When we comment about how we would love to bite down on his ample, supple skin tags.
When we make an occasional offhanded remark about the fact that inside of his wonderful tailored slacks, it looks like he's rolled up a face cloth. Is that sexual harassment? Right now, he's like under his desk. All his lines are on hold. He's dangling out the window right now.
Don't put them through. Whatever you do,
keep them away.
Well, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to simply watch the tape and then get back and report to you here on the show about exactly everything that's included in that tape.
It's interesting. I'd watch the tape really to find out, because obviously that's prepared by standards and practices, and they base it on legal opinions, and I'd like to know what really is considered sexual harassment.
I'm sure we've broken it.
Oh, I'm sure we've broken it all the time.
And really, what bothers me most about all of this, I mean, I could give a rat's ass about the sexual harassment, because we don't do that. We're just simply good friends with everybody who works here. Mm-hmm. What really bothers me is the fact that I heard that the people in the tape who were reenacting these supposed scenes of sexual harassment.
And why weren't we asked to be in the
tape? That's it. They're real CBS employees.
Couldn't we have done a good job?
How come nobody called us?
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't we be perfect for the job?
Right.
Yes. Hey, with a body like that, you could really go places.
I don't have to take that.
That's perfect. What is the exact... You know, we got to get that on tape, too.
It's where the man's talking to the woman, and as he talks to her, she gets smaller and smaller and smaller. The first line is, with a body like that...
You could go places.
You could go places.
And then he says something that makes her respond... No, I don't.
And I don't have to take it
anymore.
Yeah, maybe not anymore. I think maybe it's just, no, I don't. And I don't have to take it.
It's that old character actor that's like, come on, with a body like that, you can go places.
All right. Well,
come on, baby.
Ken's line is busy. I was hoping we could watch that tape together.
Right.
Here on the show, but I guess we can't.
You know, I just want to say, though, my own feeling on that, as someone who has been the victim of sexual harassment at every radio station I've ever worked at, I can understand. It's about time they came out with a video.
Well,
I just get really tired. Can I just say that? I really get tired of all the women here constantly. They just can't deal with me as a professional. They have to constantly deal with me as some kind of object. And I frankly, I can't even keep going with this.
Well, I would seriously like to just take the side of...
I can't keep a straight face. No.
I would just like to take the side of all the predators out there in the company. All the sexual predators at CBS. And I'm talking about, you know, Morley Safer, Ed Bradley.
Sure.
Dave Letterman.
Of course.
Craig Kilborn, Kevin James. All the big-time sexual perverts, the deviants in this company.
That just can't deal with a woman, you know, like she was anything but a piece of meat.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
I'm listening to you on the phone, and I don't know that you're talking to me. I called about Leah Remini and her shoes.
Yes, now there's somebody we'd love to sexually harass. We have sexually harassed Leah Remini.
You should see the picture. She's in the Good Housekeeping magazine. It just came to subscribers. It hasn't hit the stands yet.
Yeah?
And it's a really good picture of her. She's laying on her stomach holding a Polaroid camera.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's a very attractive woman.
Yeah. She's cute. And all these boxes of shoes are behind her. She takes Polaroid pictures of her shoes and then keeps her shoes in the box so she knows which shoes in which box.
She's a very organized woman. Have you seen the...
got a very neat house.
Have you seen the Quaker State commercial with Leah?
No.
You know those commercials with that has-been Tom Berenger?
Oh, she's got Quaker State now? I told you. Didn't we say that? Didn't I say that to her, that you really have to move up and get the big clients?
She has replaced Tom Berenger. She now is walking around. I saw it on SportsCenter today.
Wow.
She's walking around a garage, and she's talking like to a husband who's the camera. She goes...
Is it funny at all?
No.
Oh.
It's Leah being pushy, going... Why don't you change your oil? Come on. Change your oil. Do it. Do it for me. Change your oil. And they have her dressed like in a baseball suit. I mean, not a baseball suit. She has a baseball jersey on. She has like a tomboy look about her.
Oh, my God.
And she's just giving attitude to the camera thing.
Is it good? Is it a good commercial?
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's a motor oil commercial.
Tom Berenger, they didn't score big with those. Whatever happened to Tom Berenger? Wasn't he the sergeant in that great Vietnam movie, Platoon?
Yeah.
And then
after that,
what did he do after that?
He was
in The Big Chill. He had a big role in The Big Chill.
He wasn't in the movie The Principal, because that was with John Belushi's brother, but he was in a movie like The Principal, where he was an undercover cop who went to a school in a ghetto, and his way of straightening out these kids was to beat them with a baseball bat. I remember exactly. I'm sure someone knows what that movie is. Tom Berenger has not had the best career in Hollywood.
Jim Belushi is in The Principal, right? That's
Yes.
With
Louis Gossett Jr.
That movie can't suck enough. But it's one of those movies that I always watch.
Of course.
And Tom Berenger could also be on our bad skin list.
Yeah.
He doesn't have Joe Torre skin.
No, but I think of his skin when he's in that movie, Platoon, with Charlie Sheen, and they've got him all made up to have all these scars on his face.
Hold on. Speaking of bad skin, let's call Ken.
Very good.
The line in his office is ringing now.
Handsome Ken Stevens. We're going to find out if, by calling him Handsome Ken, if he would consider that sexual harassment. And now, once again, as I mentioned before, he's hanging out by his fingernails outside the second floor window.
He could already be in his car.
That's right. Heading home.
Left the building.
Oh, they're on the air. That's it. I'm done for the day.
That's Ken's way of avoiding any possible problems with the show.
Sure.
He generally just gets in his car and leaves.
Hi, honey. I'm going down to that station today. You know, they'll be on the air at 3, so I'm going to go in extra early so I can leave early before they start.
Hello.
Hey, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Hello.
Handsome Ken Stevens.
That's me.
Listen, question for you.
Yes.
Is that considered sexual harassment if we call you Handsome Ken Stevens?
Well, I don't think it can be considered sexual harassment if it's, you know, between consenting adults. And if you want to call me handsome, that's okay with me.
God bless you, Ken. All right, now, are you really going to stick to the rule of this tape? Are you going to stop all of the shenanigans around this radio station? All of the petting in the hallways? the open mouth kissing?
You know, I just saw all of that in the last half hour.
The dry humping and out in the lobby.
It really is, for some of us, it's very uncomfortable. But, you know, we understand that that's just the way this building works.
Mm-hmm. And what about all the...
And that's just over at Advantage Title.
And what about all of the open acts of lesbianism in this building alone?
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm talking about on our side of the building.
Is one little videotape going to stop everybody's fun now?
Well, I didn't actually see the tape yet either.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
You better watch it, Ken.
And your thoughts on why we couldn't watch it on the air?
Oh, I think that's an internal company sort of thing that you don't want to share with the world.
Okay, can you answer two more questions about that? Can you tell us how come Mike and I were not selected to play the roles of the sexual predators in the reenactment? Because I understand that they're all CBS employees on
the
video.
We would have done a better job. I mean, we're professionals.
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And they probably thought your fee would be too high.
Okay. All right, and second...
The performances weren't that good, you know.
The reason that this whole tape is out, is it because of something in this building?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I hope there have been other incidents around the company.
Very good.
Okay. All right.
I think you answered those questions to the best of your ability.
Thank you, handsome Ken.
Bye.
Bye. There he is. Very nervous, handsome Ken Stevens.
He picks up that phone at the last possible second.
Me when I'm in my hanging out with Ravi Shankar phase.
Yeah.
Will you still love me when I'm in my carbohydrates, sequined jumpsuit, young girls in white cotton panties, waking up in a pool of your own vomit, bloated, purple, dead on a toilet phase?
Yeah.
Okay. Party. Bonus.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
Does this mean now that the relationship between Ben and Colette is doomed?
Well, no.
No.
Because Ben is not an employee of CBS.
Ben the custodian?
I don't believe that Ben is an employee of CBS. I think Ben is an employee of Advantage Title.
WJFK.
Hey, Colette.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Have you sold all the chocolate bars?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
She's out there selling chocolate bars for her... Is that for your kid's school?
No, that was for Joan's children.
Oh, for Joan's children. And remember, you can't spell Joan without J-O.
There you go. Better watch that.
I know. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Hey, Colette, have you seen the video on sexual harassment at CBS?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that this will in any way slow down your relationship with Ben?
What relationship with Ben?
Well,
we're
you know...
friends.
See, I thought that, you know, even if Ben was... in a relationship with you, you know, or was coming on to you, he's not affected because he's not a CBS employee, right?
Yeah, no, he's not.
There you go. So you can work around that.
Yeah.
So you can continue your friendship with Ben.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. And how many hours do you spend talking to Ben each day, Colette? Because, I mean, we know it's not your choice. You have to be at one spot all day long. But, Ben, how many, you know, it's easier to determine how many visits does Ben pay you a day?
Two.
Two?
Yeah, in the morning and then in the afternoon.
But they're very long visits.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Oh, we know he's a good guy. He's a good friend of ours.
Yeah.
Right. You watch yourself around him.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
All right.
Let me know if anybody bothers you.
All righty.
All right, hey, Colette?
Uh-huh.
Damn, you're looking good today.
There she goes.
She's just like a
Priscilla. Oh, we love Colette. Now, is that, if I say we love Colette, is that sexual harassment?
It depends how far they want to take it.
But, right? I mean, if really, if you said, if you're talking to somebody and they do something for you, this is a hypothetical situation. They take care of something for you at work and you say, man, I love you for doing that. Is that sexual? I wouldn't think so in that circumstance, but if the person hearing it thought so, you're still screwed. I've said to both guys and women, I have said, man, I love you for doing that.
No,
I've said that to people, and I mean, I don't mean it sexually. It's just if somebody really pulls something good.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Yes, you do every time.
Damn you.
Total sexual.
Hi, I'm not on my cell phone right now.
I wonder where she is.
I'm like driving to the station after your conversation with Tammy.
Now, I'd like to find out from my wife what she considers to be the parameters of sexual harassment. You know, just so I have a working knowledge. Because I myself don't think I've done it.
I don't think I've done it either. But that's the whole thing. What was that guy that that mentioned Seinfeld?
Hello?
Honey.
I was just in the car getting ready to go out, and I heard my cell phone.
Hey, listen, honey. Do you consider it sexual harassment if I was to say, for instance, to Tammy Sachs, if she was to come in and do a great job on a promotion, I'd say, hey, thank you, sweetie. Do you think that's sexual harassment?
She called you sweetie. I know Tammy, doesn't she?
Yeah, she calls everybody sweetie.
No, I don't think
Tammy does call everybody sweetie.
Right. So in that instance, no.
Okay.
But let me tell you what I'm not thrilled about while we're on the topic.
Yes.
You know, I know that you get some things, that you run some things by whatever powers are at the radio station to make sure it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember having this messy garden contest run by me.
Oh, dear.
Honey, it's a client. It's a client. They came to me with a promotion. I can't turn down a client who wants to spend a big money schedule on the station.
No, that's not so. If it was the client that wanted you to say have your pedicure, you'd turn that down.
I would allow others to have pedicures.
But the point is that you wouldn't do whatever a client said.
May I go on record just at the beginning of this, before we get too deep into it, I just would like to say, if there is a client out there that would like to have a pedicure given on the air, I would gladly receive.
Oh, Mike loves his feet.
The pedicure.
I know you would, Mike. But you know, this is another thing, honey. Would you receive a pedicure if a client that does nails came on the air?
No, just like I'm not receiving the laser hair removal.
Okay,
today.
But you're not. Would you show your toes to all listeners that came by if I have,
honey? This is a moot point. I have showed my diseased toe to Mike and to Buzz and to Rob and to Charlie.
But you're not seeing the private parts of Mike and Rob and Buzz.
He can at any time. Any time. All he has to do is ask.
Well, at least not today.
Sometimes he doesn't have to ask.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a knowing glance.
Absolutely.
And the trousers fall to the floor immediately.
Real quick. Doesn't linger. It's just a quick shot.
If you are not allowed to do whatever a client wants you to do, I'm not. What if a client wanted me to show my parts to get laser hair removal, which, by the way, I wouldn't mind having.
See, now listen. Now, here's the total turnaround on this.
Could the whole thing have been leading to this?
No,
it could have been.
No, you're not allowed. There was a day when strippers came by that you would not look. What happened to those good days?
I don't know, honey.
Yeah, and now, just because you feel so holier than thou because you've given up porno for Lent, you get people showing their parts right in front of you.
And incidentally, how much longer does this goddamn Lent last? I'm nearing the end of my rope on this.
What?
3 weeks?
I think so.
3 weeks? And you realize how long it's been since I've watched porno?
Yeah, well, how religious is it if you're substituting real live people off the street to show you their parts?
Honey, you've got 2 more weeks. It goes till Easter.
Till Easter. I want to tell you something. With the women that are coming down for this contest
today...
this
is the bull crap I hear.
No, but listen, hold on.
Go ahead. Tell me that no one who comes by is not beautiful, that's supposed to make me feel bad.
Honey, I'm not going to say that because we do have beautiful women come by, but the women that come by today to display their messy area... These women would not be entering this contest if it was anything pleasing to look at.
I have to tell you, though, that the people that, the ugliest breast contest, the people that entered that, we thought would be the same deal.
Yeah.
And it turned out that there were some women that came down here and showed us their breasts that really had attractive breasts.
Funny how that worked out.
Yeah,
I think it was probably a fluke, though.
And something that, like, a disposable razor could fix in 5 seconds, I'm supposed to say, oh, well, then...
But, honey, no. See, that's the beauty of this, is that they'll never need a disposable razor again.
I know.
It's permanent.
That's not the point. If they if they are a little overgrown... Well, hell, I'm overgrown there. That doesn't mean that...
Oh, I know it. Don't I know it?
It doesn't mean that you don't become attracted to me.
God, I can't tell you how many times we've gone to the beach and seriously have to say to her, hey, listen... take care of this.
Well, all right, but at least my parts aren't hanging right out of my ears and that kind of thing. I don't have hairs on my eyebrows and ears.
Oh, all she's right. attacking your ear
yeah.
hair now.
Right, listen, you brought up your hair.
All I'm saying is that that's the lamest excuse I've ever heard.
Well, honey, I'm sorry, but it's my job to help make. Oh, hi, Tammy.
Tammy's just come in.
Tammy's here.
Hi, baby. Hi, sweetie. Yeah, I have Frida on the phone right now.
Hi, baby. Sweetie.
Hi, Frida.
Hi, Tammy. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Or does it annoy you that he calls you sweetie?
No, it doesn't, actually. But that's, you know, I mean, I call him sweetie. And
yeah,
it's just,
that's
you know,
what I said. Yeah, no, I think that's fine.
Yes.
Jesus, that's so weird.
You know what? Your intonation might be a little annoying, my darling. You know?
What's that, sweetie?
Yeah, he's definitely tweaking it up a little bit right now.
Well, just because of the videotape.
Of course.
Now, I'm glad Tammy's here because this will help me out of a jam with Frida.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tammy, did you not come to me and tell me that a client would like to do this promotion?
Yes.
Thank
okay, you.
You
know what? Then it'll be fine. You just handle it in the way you used to handle when strippers came by.
No,
the
honey, I gotta look. I'm a judge.
Yeah, see, you know, times have changed, and I don't know what changed them, but you are certainly, you know, flagrantly ignoring the rules that you told your son a few years ago that you would not look at naked women that came by.
Oh, no, I think that was just one time.
No, that was more than one time, and y'all had a little spell that they wouldn't even be in the same room or that you
No. That was the one time. Bye, Tammy.
Bye,
sweetie.
Tammy's leaving.
That was that one time you made me wear the blindfold when the girl came.
No,
in.
No, there was more than one time that you would have to turn your back.
All right, well, you know what? I will compromise. If you would like, the next time we have naked girls come in,
the next time,
mm-hmm. I'll wear a blindfold or something. But, honey, I got to be a judge today.
When you wore the blindfold, it had been because Frida did something for you and you were doing it for her.
No, there was a time when neither one of you could look. And I'll get...
No way. Really?
Yes. Do you want me to call Laura and discuss it?
No, I'm sorry. You're right, Frida. Whatever you say is
right.
Whatever you say is correct.
Honey, listen, I'll compromise with you on the next one, but I got to look today. We got to have the right panel of judges.
Well, you just do whatever you think you need to do for your financial success and your ratings and whatever you do, and just disregard any kind of feelings that your family has.
Okay. You know, and listen, I don't know how this turned out. I called you simply to ask you if calling Tammy sweetie involves sexual harassment, and now, once again, I'm getting a whole morality thing.
You're not getting the morality thing. You're getting the marriage thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with looking. If it doesn't bother Marcia, then Buzz is more than happy to look.
Honey, I'm judging today. I'm
okay.
a judge.
All right, but you would not like it if I decide to go out and judge. Well, tomorrow night I'm going to a bachelorette party, and maybe I'll do some.
How about
judging
the next time we have a hairy ass contest for guys?
Oh yeah, that's what I want to see.
Well, or if we have a hairy scrote contest. You could come judge that.
Oh, God.
You would like that.
Yeah, because then we wouldn't have to look.
I swear to God, the next time that we're going to have... As a matter of fact, you know what? Tammy has a birthday next week, and I was already thinking about getting her some kind of swinging nude. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to come down and participate, I'll prove to you I don't have a problem with that.
No. You don't have to prove to me. Tomorrow night I'm going to a bachelorette party. I'll prove it for you.
Okay.
All right, good.
Have a good time.
I'm glad we have an open marriage. We're this close to being Buzz and Marcia.
And look at how happy Buzz is.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. Hey, Buzz has been married longer than you and me.
Okay. Good. We have role models. That'll be convenient.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye, boo-boo.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That's not flying today.
Mm-hmm.
Not flying today.
I don't remember when you did that, but I know when you did, when you had the blindfold on, I thought it was a one-time deal.
No, it's when she was pissed, because that was the time that she said there's no rhyme or reason.
We'd had a lot of nudity.
It was just one day when girls were just coming by and just taking their shirts off.
That's
really,
what it was.
Really for no good reason other than just to show us.
It's always a good reason, but I mean, yeah, I know what you're talking about. The reason women were getting naked was... There was no reason.
What was it, Robbie?
It was a fine reason. It was trick or treat.
Halloween. Trick or treat. That's it. Come down, show us your teeth, and you can reach in the bag.
That's what it was.
And win a prize.
A contest.
That's right.
Trick or treat.
That's what she didn't like. That's why I had to wear a blindfold on Halloween.
And this is, you know, a public service.
Yes, please. Listen, I'm sorry. All I'm concerned about is the bottom line for CBS Incorporated.
That is correct.
They're a fine sponsor, Physicians Cosmetic Laser Institute. God bless them.
Wonderful sponsor, and they do very good work. Three lucky women are going to get their work done.
Yes, I'll be looking. As a matter of fact, I'll be looking with my eyes wide open today.
Very good. You
Robbie, give me some toothpicks.
Okay.
So I don't even have to blink. And you know what else? Give me some judge's robes and give me one of those pretty powdered wigs. So I'm going to be a judge. I'm going to go whole hog with that
today. Don't just be a judge. Today, be the chief justice.
Yeah, right on.
There you go.
Right on.
Go
I
for
shall.
It.
I shall. Okay. A couple of telephone calls. Hello. Oh, here's Cheryl the Big Dyke. Hi, Cheryl.
There. Hi, guys.
Hi.
I don't think Frieda would mind if I came down, do you think?
No, but we might.
Cheryl, just kidding.
Hey, I'm so gorgeous that I get sexually harassed all the time at work.
I wouldn't doubt that for a second, Cheryl.
Well, hey, I brought my big gelatinous breasts to the Walrus Stills Nash & Young concert last night.
Oh, really? Who has bigger breasts, Cheryl or David Crosby?
I think David Crosby has bigger breasts than me.
Yeah, but he's a father.
It made me all warm and fuzzy, mm-hmm. and fuzzier than I am, or I would come down for the Harry Bush time, to see that he the father of the baby of a lesbian couple was singing.
Well, that's right. He's the father of Melissa Etheridge's
right?
baby, right?
Yeah, can you imagine what that kid's going to look like when it's 40 or 50? I just want to tell you that it was the whitest event I have ever been to. I maybe saw 15 people of color.
Really?
And a lot of tie-dye and a lot of beards. They sounded great, but I just could not get off that walrus comment you made several weeks ago, Don. I kept thinking walrus when I looked at David.
Did he call David Crosby the walrus?
He did when Buzz was doing a newscast one day talking about the day that it was released that David Crosby
that
is
he was
father,
the father of the baby.
And you said how pretty the baby is going to look like a walrus. And I'm telling you.
David Crosby is a mess, isn't he?
He is. He truly is.
Although, you know what? Stephen Stills is not far behind.
Not at all.
You know, Neil Young
looks almost the same.
Yeah, and the other guy, is it Graham Nash?
Graham Nash. He looks the same, but he's got gray hair.
Yeah, Graham Nash, of all of them, is probably the one that looks the most together.
Hey, and Neil Young, even though he looks the same,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the problem. He still looks the same.
Sounds the same.
Does he still have those big sideburns?
Yeah, like lamb chops.
Oh, my God.
Big unwashed hair.
They had these, like, huge screens. This place was packed. It was even more packed in for the Cher. Cher was like the gay concert. This was like the white concert. There were, like, so many white.
Well, people. Even though it was white, being a white lesbian, did you have a good time?
Yeah, I saw some other lesbians there, actually. Wow. Actually, one of color as well.
You
know? Oh,
there you go.
But I'm telling you, I loved it because it reminded me of, you know, those wilder party days when I didn't know I was a lesbian, so it kind of brought me back to my straight years,
so
to speak.
When did you, Cheryl, how long did you enjoy meat?
Well, I enjoyed meat until I was in 1982. I was born in 58, 24 years old.
Okay, so I mean, you were...
I enjoyed a little bit of meat last year, but it wasn't, like, really great. It just depends who's wearing the meat.
Really?
Oh, really?
Really? So you're not 100% vegetarian. You're bi.
No, I didn't like. You know, it was okay.
Now, when you say it depends on who's wearing it, are you talking about strap-on variety?
I prefer that.
Oh, come on!
But when's the last time you were with a real guy with a real thing?
A real briefly last year.
Really?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I didn't. It was so great that it happened twice and. I hardly ever talk to him now.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's how much you liked us.
So were you two just lost in the moment, Cheryl?
Yeah, I did. I lost my mind.
There you go.
That this man?
Yes.
Who you had this fling with?
Yes.
Is this his name?
Rob Spiewak.
What?
Was it Rob?
What? Is it Rob Spiewak?
Yeah, was it Rob Spiewak?
No. As a matter of fact, it was a bouncer from Nation after I was in your first show.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah.
A bouncer from one of our Las Vegas-style shows, Lady?
The first one where I challenged someone. I guess I wasn't convincing enough to him.
Cheryl, I mean, what will your friends in the lesbian community say? I mean, you are Cheryl the Big Dyke.
I told them, and they went... So what?
Okay, right. They don't care.
No.
They don't care.
They don't care.
They know
because they know I am biggest dyke. I am the biggest dyke.
Okay.
And I can't wait to be at the Millennium Equality Rocks concert to interview some of the other very important dykes, like Ann and Ellen and...
Yeah, you're going to be our correspondent there.
I'm going to be just like Toya was yesterday. But I got to tell you, Toya is great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you stay away from her.
I don't. I'm not interested.
You stay away from her.
I got a girlfriend. I'm all, like, happily married.
She likes meat.
She likes meat?
Yeah.
I have several sizes I can offer her.
All right. Goodbye, Cheryl.
All right. Love you guys.
Goodbye. Love you.
Bye.
Watch it. That's harassment. Watch it.
My pleasure.
Just watch it, Cheryl.
Okay. Hi, baby.
My pleasure.
Bye, baby. Bye. I love you. You look so good in those jeans.
Goodbye, Cheryl.
Now, honey, meat is nothing to be afraid of.
Right.
Well, that frankly surprises me that Cheryl had a little foray into the heterosexual lifestyle.
She bounces.
How about that?
She goes back and forth and back and forth.
And it was after one of our shows.
How about that?
Amazing.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
I'm gonna miss you.
Yeah, you should. You never come see me.
I've been busy.
Everybody's busy. And don't lie to me. I know your father forbids you coming down here.
He doesn't. Honest. He just doesn't want us to talk about you in the house.
Oh, you can go shit in his hat. Oh, I shouldn't use that kind of talk. Don't let me ever catch you talking that way.
Don and Mike are back. Live in studio tomorrow. Until then, it's the best of Don and Mike.
I don't want to freed on the show 24 hours a day.
No, but I'm glad you're doing this.
Now you made me think about it. I just want to know
too. I'm curious.
Intriguing. I just want to know where the party is. That's an excellent question. I should have asked that.
Yeah, just find out, you know, whatever details she's willing to give up about.
But you know why I didn't ask? I guess the difference is I trust
her.
Mm-hmm. I trust her. She doesn't trust me. She doesn't trust me on a radio show in front of 6 million goddamn people.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, where's this bachelorette party at? Is it at a home?
I'm sorry. This is such a bad sell.
Is it at a home? Is it at a hotel?
I can't hear you, babe.
Oh, no.
Oh, come
on. Now she's torturing. You know, she's torturing both of us right now because I'm now equally curious.
It really doesn't bother me. It really doesn't, but I'm just curious.
All right. Well, we'll discuss it maybe Sunday or Monday. Why don't you call me on the air Monday?
Why am I not going to see you till Monday?
No, you'll see me. But, it's no biggie. We'll talk about it sometime. It's just hard for me to hear you right this second.
All right, listen, that's fine. You can play that game with me, but the least you can do is tell me if it's at a hotel or at a residence or at a bar.
Does it have to just
stay
one place?
The phone is legitimately breaking up. That's amazing.
I think she just said, though, does it have to be at one place?
You're right. I think that's what she said. All right, bye.
Oh, whatever.
You understand her when she speaks through that bad cell. You understood every word. That's not amazing.
She said, would it bother you if it's more than one place?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's at more than one place.
I don't know.
Whatever. I'll smell her fingers when she gets home.
It's at a home, then a bar, then a hotel.
I'll kiss her. And if she tastes salty,
then I'll worry.
Then I'll worry.
Yeah.
But then really, that's right there. You want the defining moment in the relationship?
Yes.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't trust me here on a radio show with 6 million witnesses, but I trust her to go out with all of her horny friends.
Of course.
To go to this horny girl's bachelorette party.
Horny girls, but now it's a horny girl's bachelorette.
That's right.
It has elevated itself to a horny girl's bachelor party.
And that's the official name, the horny girl's bachelorette party.
Horny girl's. You've been, haven't you ever been in a, a watering hole where all of a sudden there was the bachelor party going? Going on. I've been to a couple.
I have not.
And they come in and, they're usually just ready to have a good time.
Right.
The bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
The bachelorette party, I should say.
Should I call my mother-in-law?
Yeah.
She'd probably know.
Yeah, and she's always very helpful to you. Is she going to the party? I've seen bachelorette parties where the mom was there.
Sure. It happens. Not that I pay to see.
Saw one just a couple of weeks ago at the Great American Steak and Buffet.
Sure. Well, that's a hell of a bachelorette party.
Big women.
Well, yeah, they're really going for real meat. All right, well, nobody at home in my in-laws. Well, listen, I guess you know what? Tune in Monday.
Yep.
We'll all find out together where the party was.
That's good. She's going to torture you all weekend with
it. That's fine. I've got no problem with it. You go to your party, have your fun. I'll do the show that brings in the paycheck.
And you're a good earner.
That's fine with me.
Good earner.
Ready for some Hollywood true or false?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, but you know, are the girls here for the contest?
We have
Now that I've got this on my brain. Robbie, will you find out if any of the contestants are here yet?
Very good. Very exciting.
Because I don't want to get into a Hollywood true or false if the contestants are here, if we can actually start the contest now.
Let's find out.
I think the contestants were supposed to be here maybe 20 minutes ago.
Good.
We'll find out. Unfortunately, we've sent the slowest person in the world up, and here comes the fastest person in the world.
So far, we have 3 contestants.
Oh, then we should probably just start the contest. Hey, you got some of my my allergy pills in your pocket?
I do.
Oh, samples.
During a break.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Who do we get the Claritin Ready tabs from?
No idea.
Ah, but they're sealed, and they come in factory packaging.
Mm-hmm. That's terrific.
Beautiful. How many am I supposed to take at once?
One a day.
One a day.
It says on the package.
That's correct.
Let it dissolve on your
tongue.
Follow
those instructions.
Well, then I'll take 5.
No, just take one.
Just take one.
Because I haven't felt good for 5 days.
A little bit goes a long way.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to make me loopy, are they?
No. No, and that's one of the great things about these, and they work.
5 will make you loopy.
Yes.
Really?
Okay.
I'll keep that in mind.
What do you do? You let it dissolve on your tongue?
Or in your martini.
Are you taking it now?
Yeah, I am right now. My allergies are killing me.
Are you supposed to take it like a normal pill, or do you, like, let it...
You let it dissolve on your tongue.
Like nitro.
Really, is that what you're supposed to do?
Uh-huh.
What does it say in the instructions? All right, I'll read. Okay, everybody, I'll read the instructions.
Where you thrust it into your mouth.
Place the tablet on your tongue and close your mouth. The tablet will disintegrate within a few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, how about I go do the show?
How's it doing?
Look
at how quickly it dissolved.
Is it dissolving?
You're supposed to swallow it, I think, after it dissolves.
Well, I don't know if it's dissolved or not.
Has it
dissolved all the way?
Yeah,
it has.
How does it taste?
Salty. I got that bachelorette party.
This isn't Claritin.
All right, well then, Charlie, prepare the girls. I'll just give the boys a couple of real fast Hollywood true or falses.
I'm ready.
And then we will get right to the girls.
Yep.
Hold on a second. We got a limo driver who's taken many bachelorettes out partying.
Mm-hmm. He'll tell you.
Okay, hello. Barry.
Baldy.
Hi, Barry.
How you doing?
Doing great,
hey,
thank you.
Let me tell you, I've driven a lot of bachelor parties and a lot of bachelorette parties, and bachelorette parties are by far and away much worse.
I knew it. Yeah. I knew it. What would be the wildest thing that's ever happened as you've chauffeured the bachelorettes around?
Group sex in the back of the limo.
With boys?
Well, among other things, yeah.
Really? So, like,
yeah.
They'd invite some boys into the back of the limo and... Just
and, and let's say the limo wasn't driving straight down the freeway.
You have to ask if your wife's taking a limo.
Well, I don't think she... You know what? I bet she won't answer any of those questions now.
Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason I called, Don. Make sure they're not taking a limo because things get pretty wild.
All right, wild. Thank you.
Wild.
Thank you. Hello, Ed, buddy.
No.
Hey, what's going on there, guys?
Ed, turn your radio down, please.
All right. Hey, I just wanted to say, man... Gosh, I hate to be in your shoes right now because I know what goes on at them things, man. What do you feel about that homeboy Schlong going to be hanging around?
Well, I figured
you worried about that. Think she might get a little bit, you know, want to taste the waters.
I can't imagine, but I have pictured, you know, in my mind that there will be like a long dong silver guy there.
Maybe not though. Maybe I know there are also bachelorette parties where they go out to dinner and they go to a bar and that's it. And sometimes not even a bar.
No, not with Mary.
You think this?
Mary? Not with Mary.
There's something about Mary.
All right.
Hey, well, I just want to say you guys are great and love your show.
Thank you, Ed.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right, buddy.
Bye, buddy. Hello, Roger.
Yes.
Roger.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Hi there.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
I just want to talk to you guys about the sexual harassment thing.
Yes.
Also, I just want to say it's great to be on your show. Love you guys.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah.
Yes, what, Roger?
Trouble.
What, Roger?
You guys were asking what is sexual harassment. I used to be a manager of a restaurant, and it was a big deal around there because lots of girls used to complain about it.
Was it a fast food restaurant?
It was a pizza restaurant.
And were you accused of it several times?
Almost.
Yeah.
But it's like an unwanted sexual advance by anyone against anyone else.
Thank you.
Thank you, counselor.
Yeah, thank you.
That clears it up.
Thank you, Perry Mason.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, he didn't turn out to be trouble, but he had potential to be.
Hello, Marcel.
You got it.
Right. Hi, Marcel.
Hey, why is he talking?
Hey, I just wanted to give you a call and just let you know there could be a flip side, too. There could either be more than one stripper or just a female stripper, like a couple bachelor parties that my wife has thrown.
No. It's a bachelorette party.
Yeah, no, I understand, but maybe they'll, you know, women... They might have some women strippers there. They may be a slongless bachelor.
I'm sure that could happen too. But hey, Marcel.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marcel.
You got it.
Goodbye. All right, one more call. Here's a guy named Mike from D.C. who is actually a dancer at bachelorette parties. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, guys.
Hi, Mike.
Buzz, I want to dance for you.
Oh, no.
Oh, stop it. All right, here's Bronco Billy. Bronco Billy?
That's me.
Hi, Bronco Billy.
What's happening?
You dance at these parties?
I'm saying hello right now.
Turn down your radio, Bronco Billy.
My radio's off.
Okay, do you dance at these bachelorette parties?
Correct.
Bronco Billy, why are we having difficulty communicating?
I'm not having any difficulty hearing
you. Yes, you are.
You know, this gets back to my theory about how God rewards.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you're right. You know, I'm going to get off another one of my God tangents, but really I do think this. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone, how come so many retarded guys have such big tools?
I don't know this. You know, one of the questions I've always wanted to ask you about your theory, how in the name of God, and I use the name of God, do you know this to be true? Unless you've checked.
It simply is a theory.
Oh, a theory.
A theory that if God gives you a very small brain.
Yes.
That God...
It's in the presentation.
He makes up for it in other ways.
So in other words, to compensate for the small brain, he would bestow a gigantic,
you know, tool.
I just got a good piece of advice for you concerning your wife. The older women are more mellow. The younger women are animals. The older women just want to see a show and enjoy themselves.
And the younger women, what do they want?
They're animals.
They want to get laid, right?
Let's just say they're animals.
All right, they're animals.
Thank you. All right, and here's Diamond Jim. Hello. Diamond Jim.
Well, not a mic. I'm not only the new operations manager, I'm also a dancer.
Diamond Jim.
Doing the Jim McClure thing for us. Jesus Christ.
Boy, hey, you don't have anything to worry about if he's dancing at that festival party.
Hello, Pete. All the girls need magnifying glasses. Hello, Pete.
Hey, you seen them in Naughty Tortoises. You see them in Naughty Cheerleaders. Now Frida Sauce joins the Naughty Bachelorette Party. Right. More fun and more thrills.
Hey, goodbye. Get out of here.
God, everybody's having fun.
Yeah, let me give you... All right, I'll just tease you with the true or false. Then we have to do a break and we'll get right to the girls for the Bush contest.
Okay.
Okay, these are Hollywood true or false.
Good.
Okay, Mike, this one's for you.
Okay.
Jodie Foster...
Jordi
was mauled by a lion at age 8. True or false?
False.
True.
Oh, my God.
While shooting the Disney movie Napoleon and Samantha.
I think we have a tape of that, of her reaction to that, don't we, after that that lion?
It was a horrible, horrible
incident.
It was
really horrible, and she was unable to get over
Very
it.
Upset at the time.
Hold on. We're waiting to get all the parts of this together. No, Mumbles? There you go. Beautiful. Got it. Here's the tape of Jodie Foster being mauled by the lion. Here we go.
This is kind of a strange audience. Have you noticed that? How strange is it? Well, before the show tonight, a sweet elderly lady came up to me and says, you know, I'd like to capture you on canvas. I says, you mean to like to paint my portrait? She says, no, I've got an army cot in my Winnebago.
Yeah. Funny, Johnny.
Serving as a radio plushie for over 6 million listeners, the Don and Mike Show.
We're still waiting on the unusual body people today. We may have to wait till Monday for that because now we got too much show to get to.
All right.
We got a new Jeopardy coming up. We got Buzz with some news. We have the great John Madden on the show today.
What a show, what a show.
Next week, the finalists in the J.O. contest.
Mm-hmm.
Also next week on the show, Dennis Franz.
All right.
From NYPD Blue. He was nice enough to reschedule.
Sipowicz.
He called yesterday when we were in the middle of having our episode.
And we had an episode.
And we moved him to Monday. Also next week, Match Game 2000.
Yay.
And we'll be telling you how you can win a trip to Detroit with Mr. 40 to go to the next Mike Tyson fight.
Glad he's not going to be flying the plane.
But first, call 100. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, who's this?
This is Karen.
Karen, where are you from?
Sacramento.
Karen, call 100.
No way.
Yes way. Thank you for listening. And you've won a Remember the Titans rain jacket.
Yeah.
Courtesy of AMC and Disney. That's a nice prize. I'd like to swipe one of these jackets.
Cool.
Remember the Titans, now showing Czech newspapers for theater and showtimes. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now a Friday thing.
Here we go.
It's game time now on JFK with cash for you and me.
I know who's coming in.
No pause. And now,
Turn it off. There's no need for that. There's really no need for that, Don, to play my intro. You know, I'm on radio. You know, it's a mellow thing. There's no real need to
play that, but if you care to, that's all right. It doesn't bother me at all.
Hey, it's great to be on the Don and Mike show once again here in Washington, D.C. Very exciting as always
to be on the Don and Mike show with Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, and Charlie Broyhill right over there. And Lisa, the girl who answers the phones. Everybody's here. Very excited to be here, as per usual. Very excited. Goodbye, Mr. Sales Guy.
Happy Rosh Hashanah to all our Jewish friends. I thought I'd take that opportunity. I am not Jewish myself, but I will tell you that.
Shocker.
I would like to say, on behalf of everyone at the side show, is Jay Leno, have a very happy Rosh Hashanah. Good Yom Tov to you.
Now, Jay.
Don.
Jay Leno.
Yes, I'm here to talk to you. Yes,
your show has not even been on some nights, I think, because of the Olympics. I don't know.
How about that? Do we like that Olympic coverage? I mean, really, is it killing you? It's killing me. You know, I'm a compulsive workaholic. A lot of people should realize that about me, that I'm a very compulsive workaholic. And this has been difficult for me not to be able to come in and do the show on a
I know you got a problem with the USA regular.
Yeah. Thank you. I haven't been able to do the show on, here we go, a regular basis, and it's kind of get me,
And frankly, I would tell you something. We've been watching Letterman, and
the great suck fest, David Letterman.
No, Monday night.
Oh, come on now, he sucks.
No, Monday night.
Oh, come on, does he ever see him go jaywalking?
No, you don't. You ever see him you don't see Iron Dave.
Sports 1140, KHDK, your proud home of the Kings. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
This is the story of
some guys delivering some chairs to our house today. And the truck pulls up and the guys bring the chairs in. And my wife says, you go up and get some money. Because, you know, whenever somebody comes over to the house to do something, you know, you line them up. You always tip.
Mm-hmm.
We always tip anyway. And these
you're good about that. I think you're better than most about that. You say you always tip. You know, many times you've discussed people that you give a tip to, and I have felt that perhaps I was remiss in my, that went as far as the mailman. I only started tipping my mailman like 2 years ago.
Well, now, we didn't tip the limo driver in Wichita, so I don't want to make it out like I'm this, fantastic guy who tips everybody.
We tip on the road. We both tip on the road. We didn't tip the limo driver in Wichita because we had a problem.
Because he was a dick.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys came over, and they brought the chair, and my wife said, well, how much should we tip him? And I said, give him $20. And they brought two chairs in, and they had to do
$20 each?
No, $20 to share between them. Because they had to move a couch out of one room and then move these chairs into the other. And I gave the guys the money, and they were happy, and they said thanks. And by this time, they had moved the chairs into the wall, into the room of the house on the wall that is basically the shrine to me.
Mm-hmm.
The one room in the house where I have like all the gold records and all the disc jockey crap up on the walls.
Right.
So it's obvious that these guys were looking, and now I see them noodling this through, and I'm thinking, boy, I'm glad I let these guys up, because now these guys will go out and they won't say that they came to a disc jockey's house and didn't give any money.
Exactly.
So they said to me, hey, thank you. Said, you'd be surprised how many people don't tip us when we deliver furniture. And I said, well, I'll go out of my way to tip. And then the guy says to me, the guy that was moving the furniture says,
We appreciate it. However, you should know what happened at, and damn, I don't remember if he said it was at McDonald's, a Hardee's, or a Burger King, but he said that they had gone in for lunch yesterday at one of those fast food places, and the guy behind the counter, they ate inside.
Mm-hmm.
The guy behind the counter, when he gave them the change back, said, "Are you going to tip me?" And these guys...
What, at McDonald's?
No. These guys told me that they looked at him like he was crazy,
mm-hmm.
and the guy said to them, the guy behind the counter at whatever this fast food place was, this pimply-faced kid said, "People in Starbucks get tips, cab drivers get tips. If Domino's brings a pizza to your house..."
Oh, that's true,
You tip them.
Well, pizza's different than a fast food place.
Well, mm-hmm. the guy's thought was that because they tip at Starbucks, he should be tipped also. And I said, "Well, that's absolutely ridiculous." And he said,
"That's some kid that just had that in his own mind. That doesn't happen."
I don't. That was my question.
There's no way that happened. There's absolutely no way that a large number of people tip at like a McDonald's. We have to use McDonald's as the example.
Okay.
All right, because I mean that's the there can be a, you know, McDonald's, Burger King, that type of place.
Right.
Okay. There's no way you tip at a place like that.
I didn't think so either.
I don't know anybody that's ever
tipped. And these guys said, I said, "Well, didn't they have like a jug? You know, when you go to Starbucks, they have a big penny thing at home,
right.
A big jug you put your pennies in at the end of the day. They had a big glass container like that, and it says on the front tips
mm-hmm.
when you go into Starbucks." And I said, "Well, did they have that at this McDonald's?" They said, "No." And they sat there, and they saw... And I don't want to say McDonald's because I don't know for sure it was McDonald's, but
okay.
They said they saw this guy and a couple other people in the half hour they were sitting there. Everyone that came up, they said, "Were you happy with the service? How quickly you got your food?" "Yes." "Well, you can tip me." And they said, three or four people said, "Yeah, keep it." It was like 50 cents back, and they said,
"Well,
keep
first
it.
Of all, no, you know, in the big rule of tipping, you do not ask for a tip."
Right.
"No. You don't say, 'You can tip me.' This mm-hmm. is this had to be some kind of scam."
"I don't know."
"And you only tip if somebody provides a service, like bringing your food to you. If you have to carry your own food, that's not something you tip for."
"Yeah,
but even if they're right, the only time they bring you your food at a fast food
right.
place, if you're in a drive-through window
right.
and they get backed up and they say, 'Pull your car ahead,'
right.
I don't tip then."
"That's also true."
But at Starbucks...
Now, you're the Starbucks guy.
I go to Starbucks all the time, and they do have a big tip jar there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go in and you pay your ridiculous $3.50 for a goddamn 40-cent cup of coffee...
You know what kind of tipping I hate?
If I give them $4, mm-hmm. I just take the change and put it in the tip jar.
I hate the car wash tipping. Because the car wash tipping, I believe when you tip, you should get immediate credit for it. And if you're not... If those guys that are out there slaving away, working on the car, if they don't see you putting the money into the big box or the jar or whatever,
okay.
you're not getting credit for the tip.
Right.
But you know what you still can do? If you really, especially if you really want the car to look good, and if you're doing the extra thing where you get the car a little detail, you know, you say 30 minutes or less, or you do that thing on the side, then you light them up individually.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that works.
Have you ever done this at a car wash?
I've done this.
You have like a piece of scrap paper in your pocket, because I always have post-it notes and stuff in my pocket. I'm
you put it in
myself
tip, you up. Put it in the tip jar.
I'll go over and stand to it, because they have that big sign that says
right.
"Tips to be shared by all." It's generally
right. Yeah, it's right. a community tip thing.
It's a wooden box that has a big old ass padlock on it,
and sometimes like the money is just crammed right up to the top.
And I will just walk up with a post-it note and fold it up and make sure that they're all looking at me.
Right.
And I push it right in the slot, like, "Here I am,
there
taking
you
care of you,
sure,
lighting
yeah.
you up."
They think you're putting a $5 bill in there.
I've put every car wash receipt that I've ever gotten in the tip box.
Every
time.
Really?
Because they hand you the receipt and you walk outside, I just put the receipt in
there.
You've
never left a cash tip?
No, I don't believe I have. I've already paid for my service.
That's a shocker.
You think?
No, but on occasion... If I'm pissed, that's when I'll just leave a post-it note.
Right.
Because generally I will put a dollar or so in the tip thing at a car wash, because right. you look there's 8 illegal aliens who are out there cleaning your car, and you think, boy, you split that 8 way. You know that they're not making any real salary. You know
right.
they're making like
right.
prison wages, like 50 cents an hour mm-hmm. out there. So they got to split this $1 tip, you know, 10 different ways, meaning each of them gets... a dime.
I tipped a guy
for each of the cars that they're washing.
I had one of those days where they were doing the extra interior work, and so they had to pull the car over to the side, and they had one guy working on it, and I lit him up.
Sure.
And that's the best car wash I've ever gotten. That was that car, you could have eaten off the floor of that car when he got done with it. It was great.
Robbie?
Yeah.
You got to hit that button, buddy. I'm sitting here thinking nobody's listening to us today.
Oh,
I'm sitting here wondering how come I don't see any phone lines lining up. You didn't hit the button, you big dummy.
Sorry.
You got to hit that button first thing, Rob.
Okay.
He had the button up. The button goes in three different directions, so it either takes calls for the Liddy show or for our show or for the Junkie show.
How does that work?
Right here. This button right here.
I can't see it.
See that one?
No. I'd have to stand up to see it.
Well, I'm wondering, well, forget that.
Not going to happen.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Just be in the dark for five years.
Hello.
I was just going to say, that's bull, man. I tipped somebody at a McDonald's once or tried to. Because they got my order right, and they rarely ever do.
Right. What? Hey, that's ludicrous.
And the guy said that he couldn't accept the tip.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
All right, well, I'm just telling you what these guys who delivered my furniture told me that they had yesterday.
I think furniture guys, you know, guys that are working their ass off and bringing furniture into your house, I think it's good to tip them, you know. And if you want something else moved, you know, sometimes you got them there. You know, you really light them up and you can get something else done.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm wondering what all is the Larky Murphy story about. I was hoping I could ask that question on the air.
Buy a newspaper.
Oh, come on, please. Please, come on. Goodbye.
What all's that Mark Chimura's stories about?
I could spend time and run circles around and explain it to you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I like the Seinfeld episode where George Costanza had like a 10 and he was putting that in the tip jar. And then the counter person turned around as he was taking out change.
All right, thank you.
That's George.
Hello, Hassan.
Yo, what's up, Big Don?
Hey, Hassan, buddy.
Hey, yo, y'all ever been to Ben's Chili Bowl?
Ben's Chili Bowl? I don't think so.
U Street downtown?
No, in D.C.?
Yeah.
No, it sounds good, though. Ben's Chili Bowl. Sounds like the runs.
They tell you that... In order to get, well, they say tipping is encouraged for prompt service. And it's just like a regular, it's just like a McDonald's. I mean, that's ridiculous.
See, if I go into a place like that and it says tipping is encouraged, I tip because I read that sign to say, tip or we're going to loogie in your food.
Yeah, right. Tip is required.
Right. Tipping is encouraged. That means, you know, tip or you're going to taste something salty in your sandwich.
Absolutely.
No, they just ghetto. That's their problem. But, you know, it's all good.
All right. So thank you, my
tipping
friend.
Tipping is encouraged. All right. That's different, though. I mean, it's different than if you're in a standard fast food.
These guys
place.
Told me that this pimply-faced kid asked them for a tip.
Was it a McDonald's or was it
I don't know. Okay. I don't remember which it was.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, the muffin plant's gone, too.
Yep.
The chocolate inside the dash, that really ups the resale value.
I think you're going to be okay here.
They have a thin candy shell.
Surprised you didn't know that.
I think your brain has a thick candy shell.
Your brain has the shell on it.
Are you talking?
Shut up.
Like corn, enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Brandon.
Yeah, tipping at McDonald's is ridiculous. The best thing to do is, first of all, not tip. Second of all, I just got back from McDonald's. Best thing to do, go in with no money and be like, yeah, I came in the other day and got the totally wrong order. They said they'd write my name down and hook me up with a free meal. And they're like, well, I don't see it. You're like, oh, are you calling me a liar? You know, and you go ahead and get the free food anyway. That's the best bet.
Are you telling the truth? Did that really happen to you?
I know people. It's a McDonald's bag. I'm sitting in my car right now.
I know people who do that all the time.
That's great.
Swear to God.
Don't you know any people who, I know someone who works in this building who told me that every time he goes to drive-thru and at the McDonald's right down the street, when he goes through, he comes back around a second time and says, hey, I ordered 2 quarter pounders and you didn't give them to me. And they just go, okay. And they just
they don't care.
Right? Give him 2 more.
Do you know how many people are going to be doing that today?
Well,
we have just been responsible for a run on burgers that will be seen from miles away.
Hello, Eric.
Lay of the land, my boy.
Eric.
I was at Burger King just the other day, and the guy at the counter said,
See, you didn't disappoint me that time. You laughed at me.
Hello, George.
Yeah, I don't know how to follow that guy, but it may not be as Tommy, but is Mark Chimura the Joe Piscopo of the NFL?
Did Joe Piscopo do something like that?
Yeah, he married the babysitter.
He did?
Yeah, divorced his wife and married his babysitter.
Yeah, Joe Biscoe. But Joe Biscoe was such a loser.
But was the babysitter under 18 when he married her?
I think he met her when she was 18.
Because there's a lot of celebrities. I mean, Robin Williams is a guy who ended up marrying, dumping his wife and marrying the nanny or the babysitter. I think Chevy Chase might have done that also. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch, Kevin Costner might have done that.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of Hollywood types that do that.
If only they raped him before, though.
What?
I don't know if they raped him before.
Okay, Bobby Knight, thank you very much for that joke.
Well, no, I think he was talking about Shimura, that it's alleged that Shimura forced himself on this girl.
That's why the police went in there and vacuumed his floor.
Right.
For all the geese.
Hello, Don and Mike Joe.
Hello, good afternoon.
What kind of a vacuum cleaner?
I went into a store one day and there was a sign there that said Tipping is not a city in China.
That's the one where I wouldn't leave a tip if they had that sign.
What kind of a vacuum?
You know, I knew it was not a city in China either, but the service didn't deserve a tip anyway.
Okay, thank you. What kind of a vacuum cleaner do you use to get jizz?
Well, a regular vacuum cleaner, and if it's dried, it goes right into the bag.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't go right into the bag. I mean, like a regular, like if Chimura was trying to do that.
I don't think the cops went in with a dirt devil.
No, but actually what they were looking for were hairs and other fibers that would...
It's probably fibers.
Tie people to
hair.
The crime.
Yeah, yeah, but there might be some jizz.
There could be.
You know, I would think, would they take apart the vacuum cleaner then if they saw, you know, a splotch, what do you call that,
a dollop?
A dollop.
I don't know, you know. I mean, it does dry, obviously.
Just a dollop.
That's so gross.
Hello, JD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I was just watching CNN below while listening to you guys.
Yeah.
And the little tags they run, the storylines at the bottom.
Yeah.
And they just showed Cincinnati disc jockey sentenced for internet sex today.
Okay, well, then the story's made its way to CNN.
All right, yeah. Fantastic.
Later.
Jimmy Fox.
Jimmy yep. Fox, man.
I'm the Fox man.
Jimmy Fox. Hey, Fox in the box.
Woo!
That was his big thing. Fox box.
Guess he was trying that.
Hello, Chris.
Don, Mike, Buzz, greetings.
Buddy.
Since this fellow got in trouble in Cincinnati, home of the mighty KRP, which WKRP character do you think would also find themselves in a
Nessman.
Situation?
Les Nessman.
Absolutely.
Les Nessman would be the one that would be
on
the internet.
Boys. He'd like boys, though. He'd be like in a NSYNC chat group or something.
I think it'd be Gary Sandy.
Oh, the PD?
It'd be the PD.
Right. No, I think it would be, who's the sales guy? Herb Tarlick.
Herb Tarlick.
Or, of course, the obvious, it could be Johnny Fever.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest, it could be anybody on that show.
Anybody.
It could be the big guy, it could be...
but they had Bailey Quarters there, they didn't need to go looking.
Venus Flytrap.
Not Venus.
Could have been him.
Nah, Venus had his own stable.
Hello. Not in Mike's show.
Yeah.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, this is Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
I was calling in about the tip box at the car wash.
Yes, what about it, sir?
Hey, I used to run a full-service car wash in college.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys suck up enough money in the vacuums in the back to make that tip box look like a little piggy bank.
What do you mean?
Cool.
You mean all the loose change and stuff in the back of people's cars?
Yeah, they split that stuff up at the end of the day, and it's like playing Monopoly.
Is it really? I never knew that. That makes perfect sense. Is it mostly change, or do they get a lot of bills?
No, it's mostly change.
That is cool.
It must be a sign of a car wash with integrity. The car wash that I go to, generally, they leave the change on a seat.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you're back there and you're not paying attention, I'm sure you go under the seats with the vacuum. You probably get a tremendous amount of change that way.
I guess so. Here's Hank in Green Bay. Hank.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
I just wanted to say I was listening to some of those local idiot talk shows on talk radio today.
Yeah.
And they were saying that the girl wanted it. They're all for a Chimura. They're like, the girl asked for it. She deserved it.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that sick?
You know.
God bless them. So Homer.
God bless them. They got nothing else going in Green
Bay. That's right.
I logged on to the website today for, what's the newspaper there? Is it the Post-Gazette?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Okay, so I log on to the Green Bay Post-Gazette because I want to read about Chimura. And, you know, it's hard, if you were to look at this and say, is this a newspaper that is giving you objective news coverage, or is this a Green Bay Packer fan magazine?
Right.
You wouldn't know, because they had...
It's so totally tempered?
They had a very tiny story up in the corner about Mark Chimura, and then they had big letters on the other side, new stadium plans, hey, Packer backers, number one Packer city in America, Title Town, USA.
Right. That's the way it always is. It could be the town's burning down
but that's the first thing you'll hear about in the news is Brett Favre's got a hangnail.
So the deal was that the average radio in town was kind of supporting Chamorro all the way, and not before they hear all the facts, of course.
Well, it was a lot of the town folk.
Yeah, well, you know, she was asking for it there because...
Yeah, you know, he doesn't have any responsibility, you know. If she's a good-looking girl and she goes in, like, you know, there to do the babysitting, I mean, what does she expect? He's a football player.
I mean, hell, it would be an honor there to be poked by Chewy. Oh, for Chewy catching the pass and doing the leap there.
I got news for you. I know that there are daughters everywhere that would line up to be able to be a babysitter for a Packer.
I'll tell you something there, Yahey there. I would let my daughter have sex with any of the Packers.
Yeah, because they're the Packers.
With any of them.
Come on there. Give the guy a break. Give him a second chance.
When Holmgren quit, I called him up and I said, hey there, Mike. I got a nice 15-year-old daughter. How would you like to sleep with her and maybe think about not leaving Green Bay to go to Seattle there?
This is a time for all the Packer fans to forget about the troubles of that young girl and to line up behind a rich, wealthy football player.
Because she was asking for it, Dan.
Hey, I wonder if the police are going to swab out the cheese head that he wore for protection.
Oh, God.
Goodbye.
I'm out of here.
Goodbye.
I'm out of here.
Hey, the funny thing was the Packer fans with the big number one fingers.
I can't believe
outside the courthouse. Yeah, we're there with you.
I wonder if they rode their Packer tractors down there.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you guys had shirts on when you came in here.
Well, something happened to him, man.
Come on, Spicoli, just put the shirts back on. See that sign?
No shirts, no shoes,
no ties. Right. Learn it. Know it. Live it.
Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Matt.
Yes.
Matt.
Don.
Yes.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, buddy.
I have a question for you. Greetings from Sacramento, by the way.
Thank you.
Alcoholism. How do you know when you've gone too far? Because I think I'm there.
Well, why don't you tell us about it?
Well, 23, and I love to drink.
Well, I mean, what makes you think you're an alcoholic?
Man, you know, I'm not to the point where you may be, Mike, we're waking up and taking a shot, but I'm there.
Not to that point, yeah, Mike.
Hey, no, I got to make it real clear that the other day I said that's the one thing I don't do. Remember when we took that quiz? I don't do that.
Don't do the morning, huh?
No, can't.
What time do you start?
After work, about 3:45.
Have you ever blacked out?
Never blacked out.
You ever lie about your alcohol use?
To some people.
Does alcohol use affect your relationships?
Not at all.
Are you drunk right now?
I'm actually working, unfortunately.
Have you lost previous jobs because of alcohol abuse?
I've lost previous jobs due to marijuana use.
Due to marijuana use?
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, that doesn't make you an alcoholic.
No. Congratulations. Congratulations. Please bill a help. It's on my show.
He's okay. Oh, I love it when we can help a person.
Thank you. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, hi, guys. Did you hear that?
Not an alcoholic. Congratulations.
Continue, citizen.
Hello, Joe.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Mark Chamorro refused to go to the White House when the Packers were invited because he felt that President Clinton was sexually immoral.
Ooh. Yeah, you know, Chamorro...
Oh, is that really true?
That's true. Chamorro is a gigantic, huge, big-ass conservative Republican.
Oh, that is so cool!
And, like, he's the only one that refused to go, you know, because he couldn't stand the way that the president was acting with the Monica Lewinsky
even
there.
Though it's still the president of the United States.
Yeah.
Way to go there, Chamorro. Yeah, that's good, okay. Who's Johnny Hypocrisy now there?
Oh, she was asking for it, Mike. You know it.
Man, I don't remember that. I never remember that. He didn't go. He was the only
member of the Packers. And he had like a press conference where he announced why he wasn't going.
What a dick.
I'm not going because of the Monica Lewinsky there.
Well, he's now, getting his reward now, isn't he?
Excuse me. My babysitter is just coming off her period, and I gotta go now.
Oh boy! Well, that makes it even more interesting.
Hello, Deborah.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I believe Mark Chmura is the Lester Burnham of the Packers. I think that was Kevin Spacey's character.
Lester Burnham. Okay, beautiful. Thank you, Deborah.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye.
Got to remember that. Lester Burnham.
Lester Burnham,
everybody.
Oh, man.
Hello, James.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I just want to let you know, I was listening to you guys talking about tipping. And I got to tell you why I never, ever tip.
You mean in any circumstance?
I find it, unless they go really above and beyond, when they get hired, they are food servers.
Are you talking about in any restaurant?
Any restaurant.
No, listen, that is a huge mistake. I mean, you can get away with that. You can get away with that once.
Once, exactly.
But
you
if
never
you ever
go back to that place.
If you ever go back to that restaurant again, you're going to be eating someone's stool.
Definitely.
Do you get called on it a lot? Do you get a lot of people that make comments to you?
I have been asked about it, and I explained to her, I said, when you took this job, you got hired to serve my food. You got hired to bring me my dinner. That's what you get paid for.
Why does it make her feel like crap?
Mother, if you keep bringing me, what I need, asking me how I'm doing, maybe you'll get something at the end. But don't expect it if you don't go above and beyond. Because I've had these people that come up and they give you dirty looks, and they haven't done a damn thing. They leave you at the table. They never see how you're doing. They never say nothing.
I'm afraid to do that. I overtip even when the service is bad.
You know, it's impossible. Okay. It's impossible to argue with this guy because his point is very, very well taken. I mean, you have to, but it is. I think we're all kind of in that culture of we have to tip.
Do you know who we got ripped off during vacation a couple of weeks ago when we were in the Cayman Islands?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't realize until we were there for 4 days. That they just add 15% on to everything.
Yeah.
And a lot of times by the end of the dinner, I'm tired and Frida's tired. We've been at the beach all day. We just want to get out of the restaurant. We would just look at whatever the total was, and I'd say, honey, add 20%.
Oh, man.
And let's go. Mm. And it wasn't until like the fourth day, she was going through her receipts, and she said, oh, my God, do you realize that all these restaurants we've been to, they've already built in a tip, and you big dope, you've over-tipped them by like 20%.
Right. I mean, you may be throwing, a token 5% on top of that.
No, I didn't know that. Hey, here's another great rip-off. Now, this is a rip-off that you could only do once, but if you ever wanted to drop out of society.
Yes.
And, you wanted to go down to the Cayman Islands where they have, the Hilton has a place and the Hyatt has a place and there's a Ritz-Carlton, all these fancy hotels. What you could do is you go to the hotel bar. You go out by the beach, you drink all day, you smoke Cuban cigars, and you order the most expensive meals possible because they don't ask for money. All they say is, what's your room?
Sure.
And you just go and say, hey, 1402.
Right.
The end of the day, you go, oh, my belly's full, I'm drunk, I've got a great Cuban cigar. Now, you couldn't ever go back.
Right.
Again, but the whole time that we were at this Hyatt down in the Cayman Islands, never once did anybody ever say to me, what's your name?
Right.
Do you have your... They always give you that little ID with you?
I know what you're saying, but I also know that we're talking about hotels, and we're talking about big chain hotels, and theft prevention is their number one deal. Believe me, somebody has noodled it through. Somebody has thought it out. Somebody is going back to a computer screen. You mention your room number. Somebody is seeing it, because you'd have to make sure that you gave the room a number that happened to be occupied. I know there's got to be a way.
They're 100% occupied all the time.
We're going to get a call from somebody who is working in that and said, here's how we do it. Here's how we... Because people will be doing that all the time.
I gave it a thought myself when I was getting all these thoughts with Frieda about how we should just drop out of society.
You'd get caught.
No, for the first week, we could just go to a different hotel every day. We don't look like freeloaders.
Right.
We would just go drink the big banana mudslides and lay in the pool. Mm-hmm. I'd load up on cigars. We could have nice food for a week, we'd live like kings. Now,
for a week.
She said, well,
for a week is you dropped out of society, and then, for the rest of the weeks of your life, you would be screwed.
Well, all right, but you could get one great week out of it.
I seem to remember either we've had this discussion.
I can't tell you, every time that we went anywhere in the hotel, whether it was to the gift shop to get a newspaper, whether we were at the hotel bar, whether at the pool bar, on the beach, every time, and different people every day working there.
Right.
Room number 1205. Thank you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
But you'd have to sign for it, right? They'd bring you something at
the end
of the day.
Not always. You run a tab.
You have to sign the tab at the end of the day?
No, a lot of times we'd look for the girl or the guy who was bringing us drinks. We couldn't find him.
We're going to get somebody calling. Somebody saying, here's the way we do.
I'm telling you, I think it's a great scam. I truly do. Hello, Skip. It now can only work for a week.
Right. This is, or probably a day.
Yeah, a day at each hotel.
A day at each hotel.
A day at each resort. Mm-hmm. Hello, Skip.
Hey. What's up, buddy?
You go somewhere like Hawaii, where there's like, you know, you could do it for a month there. There's 30 different gigantic resorts in Hawaii.
That's true.
Hello?
Hey, hello.
But, like, you couldn't look like a deadbeat or anything.
Right. Yeah, that's
hello?
True. Hold on a second. My hotline is ringing. I'll come right back to you. Hello?
Hey, Ned.
Hey. Hello?
About the Cayman Island things?
Yeah, buddy.
On the second day, I put the wrong phone room number, and I didn't know it, but I told the lady.
Yeah?
Didn't look at it with anything. I switched up the numbers, and she was like, okay. She started running it through.
Oh, all right, there you go, proof positive.
It works.
But now, did you end up making it right with her?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Because then I looked at the card they give us, and I was like, oops, wrong number.
Right. See, I'm telling you, you could pull that
maybe
scam.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe they wouldn't be able to catch you.
100% chance you could pull that scam. How's your ear?
It hurts.
How's your ass?
Oh, it double hurts.
Wow.
Yeah, there I go, the abusive father again.
What's the matter?
Hurt his... How'd you hurt your butt? You were playing baseball at school yesterday?
Yeah, and I slid into home, and I was wearing shorts.
No, did you bruise your coccyx?
No.
No, your tailbone.
No, he just...
I have my entire leg skinned up.
Yeah, all the way from like his mid-thigh all the way down.
Way to go into home hard, Bart. Way to do it.
And the ear thing... This is something that happened on vacation also.
The swimmer's ear?
Well, no, we already took him to the doctor once, and the doctor gave him eardrops.
And it got better, but then it got worse again.
And antibiotics, and now his ear has started to bleed.
Mm.
So he's got to go back to the doctor again today.
That's no fun.
All right, bud.
Okay.
Love you.
Love you, too.
All right, see ya.
Get well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. See you later. Goodbye. Hello, Dad? Here's the deal. Hello, Dad? I gave him the wrong number.
Hello, Skip.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Hey, what about the dude that wipes your seat off at the stadium? You tip him?
If you go to Camden Yards? Yes. I tip that guy $1 for wiping my chair. Absolutely.
For one seat or two?
I give him $1 per seat.
Good math. That's what I do, too. I don't know. Because I see people get their seats wiped, and they don't give them nothing.
God, I don't.
Give the guy something.
I don't. It's a service.
Oh, you tightwad.
I believe it. No, you've got to. Imagine that crappy job. Some old guy. And
well, I forget.
His only job is to wipe a seat at Camden Yards?
I'm sorry. Those are the ushers. And you know what? The only time I've ever tipped ushers in a ballpark is when I want to get a seat down closer. I should. See, I'm learning. I'm sorry. I want to apologize to all the ushers that I haven't tipped, and I'll be tipping them from now on.
Always light them up.
Tip them.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, my friend.
Right, now, once again, this is just like the mailman. I'm racked with guilt again.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm a friend of Elaine's.
Oh, hi.
Oh, look at the cute little bastard. You are mommy's little bastard, aren't you?
What the hell are you doing harassing my tenants?
Oh, come on, you son of a bitch. I'm just trying to be friendly.
All right, that's it. Let's go.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Rick.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Buzz.
Hey.
I wonder if Buzz ever heard this story or if you guys did a story about this guy who went into a Goodwill store, bought a uniform, went and bought a model with some little emblems and bought some wings and became a pilot. And he would just go to the desk and say, you know how pilots get to fly everywhere for free, wherever they're going?
I bet that would work.
Probably. I bet that would
and
work.
And then he would find out what hotel they were supposed to stay in, get the name of a pilot, go in and check in under that guy's name, and just eat and stay there as long as he wanted.
That's a great skill. When you run out of time, when you run out of hotels, you just get yourself a pilot suit, and you fly around the world just pretending to be a pilot.
So then he went down south, and he became a doctor. He got one of these fake diplomas, and he would go to conferences under different, like hospitals, and he would check into the hotel wherever there was a hospital, and he would be Dr. Blowjo, whatever.
Now, wouldn't that one be tougher to pull off? I mean, like, even when a doctor goes to a conference, doesn't the doctor have to give a credit card to get a room?
I would think so. I would think so, but I mean, he can go to all of the free buffets, right? And he can eat like a king. They're not going to check. He's, you know, he just puts a name to him. Hello, I'm Dr. Katsiafanou.
Does this ring a bell? Did you ever see the story about this guy?
I haven't heard this story. No, it's news to me.
All right, thank you.
He went to France and was doing something over there, and the French finally caught up with him. I don't know what they caught him for over there, but
hey, whoever this guy is a genius. We should get him on this show.
You know, he had like an IQ of 150.
As long as he's not going into the operating room or flying the plane, I think what the hell.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, sir.
Yes, hi.
My name is Dana. You are Radio God.
Thank you. Hello, Dana.
How are you?
Hello, oh, Dana.
Hello, Dana.
Hello, Dana.
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 Let me give you the lowdown on tipping.
Dana. Yes, Dana.
Well, I've heard some sad stories. You don't tip at McDonald's. Usually when you go into a restaurant, if it's buffet, you tip 10%. If you go into a full-service restaurant, the minimum is...
All right, goodbye. Shut up. Your time is up, please.
Dana.
F you, Dana.
Dana, radio gods. Dana, let me tell you all about tipping.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi there, baby.
I cannot believe I am talking to y'all. It's been forever. I've listened to you guys ever since I was, 12, 13?
Is this the first time you've called?
Is this Mark Chamora's babysitter?
No.
Did you babysit for Lester Burnham in Green Bay? That's the best name, Lester Burnham.
Lester Burnham.
Robbie, you know, it's too bad. When does American Beauty come out on video? Is it like 2 weeks or something? I've got a CD like a Packer highlights from the year they won the Super Bowl.
That's right, Lester Burnham.
We'll have to get some like Chamora highlights and
oh, sure, just dub in the ones where he's talking to the babysitter.
And splice in Lester Burnham.
The prom girl.
Well, yeah, hi there, I'm sorry.
No. Enjoy. The biggest thing I want to tell you about is that, of course everybody knows about blacklists in restaurants, right?
Blacklisted restaurants, like certain customers that you know are bad tippers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Except it's a lot more common practice. And a lot of people, I don't know if it's a common fact for most people, but most waitresses and waiters only make $2.13 an hour. Their largest portion of their money comes from tips.
Yeah, we know that. Hey, listen, who's the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Let's see. I've been told a little bit of, well, she's dead, but... What's her name? The pinup from the 50s, Betty.
Betty Grable?
No.
Betty Boop.
Long black hair.
Betty Buckley.
Oh, man.
Betty and Veronica.
I'm trying to think of what.
Are we playing the Betty game?
Betty Rubble.
Betty White.
I'm still way ahead. If we're playing the Betty game, I think we are. Because I have such a gigantic lead.
Black Betty.
I'm still at least two ahead. Now the show's ground to a total halt.
Betty.
Say it, I'm King of the Bettys.
King of the Bettys. He caught me by surprise. It's been a long time.
King of the Bettys.
It just came out of nowhere. I was totally unprepared.
Yeah, sorry.
But I still don't know who the celebrity this woman. Betty Grable was the big pinup in the 40s. Mm.
No, this one was like 50s. And she was known for that black leopard suit that she always used to wear. Long black hair.
All right, goodbye. So I was only interested in her because she sounded sexy.
She scares me.
Hey, beware of women who sound too sexy.
Hello, Mike. Mike, buddy.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. Hi, hey, how you guys doing, Don and Mike?
We're doing great, thank you.
I was calling because you guys were talking about the room charges in hotels.
Yes.
I used to work for the Hyatt.
Yeah?
You can definitely pull it off. You'd have to do it on the days when they have a high check-in. What happens is they take it back and you close it to the room. The only way they pick up is a lot of the people who order room service all the time. So the... waiters actually get to know them, but there's no way to check on it.
I'm telling you, like for a one-day scam.
I stand corrected. I would think that major hotels would have a little bit of control over that, but obviously not.
No.
It's really funny. You can get away with it.
As a matter of fact,
if you have that meal and then you go and you rant and you rave and you complain, if you're actually staying in the hotel, you can get the stay for free. You can get airline tickets.
Wow. I told Frida.
It's amazing. We have people, like, when I was in the hotel industry, who would come in and they know exactly how to work the system and they get everything for free. I told her, give it away.
If we ever dropped out of society, like we really ever did move to the Cayman Islands, I said we'd spend 2 or 3 days a week just going to these private beaches that these hotels have.
Oh, you can definitely do it.
Because the regular beach, if you just go down there for a vacation.
Yeah, and then eventually, after about a month of doing that, you'd probably stay as the guest of the Cayman Islands. In the Cayman Islands prison system.
No, I'm telling you, you could pull that off.
I think it's a good idea.
You could pull that off.
Maitre D. Maitre D. Is there a problem here?
No, and I'm not talking about about, like, charging stuff to the room.
Right.
But I'm saying, if you drove down the road from the compound where the hotels were,
yes.
If you went, like, to the public beach,
right.
There was, like, goats on the beach, and there was, like, needles floating up on shore and everything.
Right.
But the areas that were the beaches just for hotel guests,
yes.
Were beautifully manicured. They had the nice big chaise lounges with the big folding things on top to keep
right.
The sun out of the way.
How do you get access, though? You have to walk through the middle of the hotel?
No.
You have to walk through the front door?
No, you don't.
Really?
No, you don't.
Wow.
There's just a sign that says beach for Hyatt guests only.
For guests only. So you just drive into the hotel parking lot.
Park your car.
Get your thongs on.
Walk and spend all day at their beach.
It's wonderful.
I'm telling you, you could do it. You really could. And you could eat for a week at different hotels.
And then that one day would come. You know, you'd have to have that. The one embarrassing day would be, hello, sir. Are you a guest of the hotel? May I see your room key, please?
And then you would say, oh, you know what? And that's why you got to have the husband-wife team. Because
right.
You would look at your wife and you go, honey, what's our room number? And she'd go, oh, you know, I left it out in the bag by the pool.
Right.
Can we come right back? And then you just run as fast as you can.
You run.
And you would never go back to that hotel.
Run.
Hello, Robert.
Yes.
Hi.
Don, Mike, I'm just letting you know that, Don, you got royally screwed in Mexico.
I didn't go to Mexico.
Well, wherever you went. They, because they tax luxury tax and all that stuff on room service.
Oh, thank you. It's another genius caller to the Don and Mike show. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Well, can I tell you something? God royally screwed you.
Please. Jesus Christ, you jerk off.
He was screwed
on the big scheme of things.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hey there.
This is Emily from Athens, Georgia.
Yes, hello there.
And I was just going to talk about a friend of mine who worked as a waitress in a restaurant, and whenever somebody wouldn't tip her, she would follow them out of the restaurant and say that a busboy had been stealing tips and ask the people how much they
That is what a brilliant way.
That's a good scam.
That's a brilliant way to do it. And then
you shame the people into saying, we left you $5.
Right, right. And if you've given decent service, then the people really can't run you a toot. That's a great idea. I think all waiters and waitresses should do that. Follow somebody out. Excuse me.
Listen, I'm so sorry to bring this up.
The busboys have been stealing the tips here.
And I noticed that there was no tip left.
I didn't want to pressure you into giving, but did you leave a tip? And then they if they're real dinks, they go, no, we didn't leave a tip.
That would only work if they paid cash, though, right? Because on a credit card, you just have the choice of not writing in a tip.
And I was a busboy who got accused of stealing tips from waitresses by waitresses.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Imagine that, young Buzz bringing the food.
I didn't do it.
But most of the time, they were just simply having their way with you, right?
Well, there was a lot of that.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Stugatz.
Hello.
Stugatz, Estrella La Boca.
That's Italian.
Italian?
Italian for these nuts. And they said it on the Sopranos throughout the whole season.
Stugatz.
Did you guys pick up on that?
Hey, Marone.
Stugatz.
Stugatz.
Hey, Stugatz. Okay, Stugatz. Thank you.
Esta la boca.
Right. Hemorrhaging spongolics here.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, you know what really sucks out here in California? That when you're a server, you get taxed 8% of what your food sales are. So if you sell $1,000, they automatically tax you on 8% of that money, whether you leave a tip or not.
Is that their way around not reporting tips?
I don't know. That's just how the government gets their money. People who just try to make some extra money making tips, I guess.
That's the government coming down on the man.
Mm-hmm.
Really Thank you, my friend. All right, one last call. I'm getting bored of this whole tipping thing. Hello, Mike.
Hi, how you doing, Don and Mike?
Great, thanks.
Good, love your show.
Thank you, Baldy.
I had a question. To go to a strip club and you pay a girl for, let's say, a lap dance or a table dance,
mm-hmm.
Do you tip them over the amount that you pay them for that? Or do you tip it?
I wouldn't know.
I have no idea.
I'm clueless. Gee, I wouldn't know. We wouldn't know.
I have no idea.
No one in this room can help you. I'm sorry.
Not a person in here. Rob, you don't know, do you?
You know Rob?
Anybody?
No.
Rob doesn't know either. Nobody knows the answer to that.
We're stumped. Thank you, though.
All right. Thanks a lot.
I'm sorry. I wish we could help that gentleman.
Look at his face. Look at that innocent boy's face.
Look at that.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yes.
Would you please get Jeannie on the phone for me?
No.
Good. Get me a hot towel.
What?
A hot towel. I need a hot towel.
Okay, I'll check on them.
No, they're out there. You don't need to check. They're out there. Artie was selling them like there's no tomorrow. I mean, they must be out there. He wouldn't be in here saying he got hot towels. They must be right out there, very close by. There's hot towels out there. I can tell.
Expertly aged, like a fine cheddar. The Best of Don and Mike.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello, hello.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to Don and Mike.
Yes, you're talking to us. Hello.
Hi. Yeah, you guys are radio gods. I've listened to you so long, and I just wanted to be abused by you a little bit because you've never picked on me, and they gave me the number, so I figured
you're
I'd
on call. You're off to a good start by putting the wet face cloth over the phone receiver.
Hell yeah. Yeah, well, you, I'll tell you the new thing about it. I'd love to do what you guys do because obviously, if you've got a closed.
Turnabout would be fair play with this guy, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
I got, you know what,
see, I knew it wouldn't matter with him, too. I knew if I did that,
the press is on.
Right.
I love when we talk to each other. That's a beautiful thing. That's really nice. Why don't you put curls in your hair and start screaming at me? I think I never left home. I mean, don't ignore me this way. Yeah, same to you.
What part of it?
Hey, listen, keep up the great work because you're the only thing that keeps me up on the ride home.
Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah, there you go.
Take care.
Bye.
Hey, I'll tell you something right now. Yeah. What's up, Bob? My breath freaking stinks.
I just put my hand through my mouth. I just got a nice big whiff of my breath. We could have been speaking any foreign language, and he would have just gone, yeah, yeah, there we go, yeah, yeah. Give me some mouthwash, Rob. You need a little freshener?
Oh, God, it tastes awful.
Need a little banaca.
When you need fresh breath.
You're outrageous, Buzz. Outrageous. Hello, Don and Mike. Lauren.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Hi, doing great, thank you.
I just wanted to share with you that I was surprised you guys didn't know in an interview when Ellen and Anne Hayes had gotten together.
Hold on, is this a man or a woman?
I am a woman.
You are a woman. Have you been on our show before?
No, I have not.
All right, Lauren.
But anyways, Anne Hayes had said that she had never looked at women before she met Ellen.
Lauren Hill, Lauren Holly. Ralph Lauren.
That doesn't count. Ralph Lauren doesn't
count.
Okay,
I got three.
Sure it does. It's spelled the same.
All right, that's a hollow victory, Mike.
I mean, you caught me totally off guard. I'm trying to figure out what this woman's thought. I'm trying to figure out if it's a man or a woman. And you jump right ahead with the Lauren game.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
King of the Laurens.
King of the Laurens.
Useless victory.
A meaningless victory.
But a victory nonetheless.
Yes, a victory nonetheless.
Put it on the chart.
Okay, what, Lauren?
Well, I just wanted to share that with
Lauren
because
call.
You were discussing how...
who was the little girl her father knows best?
That was another Lauren, too.
See, now, damn you, you've got me...
Now you've got me working on it now.
Lauren Tweez.
But you already declared my victory.
I know.
But
I'm just showing you if I applaud myself.
It wouldn't count, but I was going to say Lauren Green. That'd be Lauren.
Lauren, not Lauren. All right, well, you're king of the Laurens. Excuse me, I'm just trying to focus on this, what we're doing right
yes,
now.
Lorraine, and this woman had something about a gay issue with Ellen right. And Anne Hayes.
Go ahead, start again, Lauren.
All right, Anne Hayes has said in an interview in the past how that she never looked at women that way before she met Ellen because you were discussing how you thought she would swing or whatever, and I just wanted to share that little tidbit with you.
Okay, so she was actually totally hetero until she bumped into Ellen.
Yeah, I guess.
Who's the woman who pushed you over the edge to the other side?
I'm not sure. I've liked women ever since I could remember.
Have you ever had an experience with a man?
Oh, yeah, several times.
And it didn't meet with your approval?
Well, no, I like both.
Oh, you're bisexual.
I wouldn't complain either way, but sex with women is definitely better.
Why is that? I mean, what's better than a nice big baloney pony?
Well, men don't always know what they're doing, you know?
Well, sure they do. We just ram it in there.
No, see, that's the problem. That's not always right.
Just push it in.
No.
You need to, just push it in so it don't go in anymore.
Yeah. You gotta work it once you get in there, you know?
Come on.
My goodness.
Work it, please.
You're too bad, kid.
You just shove it in.
No.
You push it. And then when you reach the wall, you can't go anymore.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Ah, lunchtime. Well, let's see what I've picked for myself today. one bullion cube, one conquered grape, one Philly cheesesteak, and a jar of garlic pickles. No one will want to kiss me after these, eh, Smithies?
Well, it's their loss, sir.
Yes.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
Mr. Titus is on the telephone.
Wonderful. Oh.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Television star Christopher Titus.
What
a debut. What a debut. What an incredible
debut.
Yeah,
I've been a big chat for like 3 days now.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. You the man.
Yeah, you wait to the Oscars on a Sunday. If you run that episode, we get a two-share.
The show Titus. It's going to be run on Sunday night again?
We're rerunning that episode on Sunday, and then we got Dad is Dead, which is my favorite, on Monday.
Dad is Dead.
Tell me something, Christopher. Since we had you in here, which was about 2 weeks ago before the show was on, told you that looked funny, you had one airing of the show kicked ass, like 14, 15 million viewers, something like that,
yeah,
right?
It was crazy. And actually, the weird part about, you know, the network called us like 3 days before, and they said, you know, we've done some polling. It seems the American public is only 12% aware of your show. And then we got like a 20 share, so...
Oh, man, you have to deal with phone calls like that?
They can take their polling and poll it, is what I'm saying.
Man, really?
Right, so now that you've got one show under your belt, and you've got one fantastic rating,
I'm quitting the show, actually. I'm quitting the show.
How has it changed your life? I mean, did you go in and take a leak on Rupert Murdoch's desk, or has it changed you at
yes,
all?
Yes, and that's why I'm quitting. That's why I'm leaving.
I mean, really though, when you got those ratings, how did you feel?
I gotta say, you know, Brian, Jack Kenny, Brian Hargrove, myself do the show. We created the show, and I went to Brian's house, and Brian goes, "We're just cocky and arrogant because Brian, but you're talking about it." Brian goes, "You know what?" He goes, "I knew this was going to happen. I've been writing my Emmy speech since the pilot."
So they're all... The guy I want to ask you about is Scott Farkas from Christmas Story, because that was actually a subject of a call that we got on the show where we were wondering if that was really the Scott Farkas. What is the actor's name that plays your redheaded buddy there on the
Zach
show?
Zach Ward.
What's his name?
Zach Ward.
Zach Ward.
That's the kid's name. Do you know if that's the kid with the...
it's definitely the kid.
The yellow eyes from Christmas Story, right?
Yeah, he's actually had to live with that ever since that movie.
Oh, my God. God, that had to be difficult, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, he's all proud of the show now, and people come up to him, and they go, "Hey," and he's like all nodding that they got the show, because we got the dinner and stuff. And you're the dude from Christmas Show.
Oh, that's got to suck, but he's great on the show, he really is.
Yeah, he's hilarious on the show.
How much of a commitment have they made to you? How many episodes?
We got 9 right now. If we keep pulling numbers like we did, we'll get an early pickup, maybe. I don't know, man. I got to say, I'll be honest with you, I can't believe the number. The day before, the network president called me, and I said, "What do you expect us to get?" He goes, "I expect you to drop 2 points below that 70 show, which would have been a 13. And I was like, "Okay, what if we get an 18? And he just started laughing at me. He just literally laughed.
Oh, that had to make you feel good.
Well, just that, you know, it's just funny. It's like, "Oh, down, little boy. We know everything. Relax."
We saw good reviews of the show, and we saw bad reviews of the show.
Did you see the post?
Oh, did we see the post? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Tom Shales. Now, when you read something like what Tom Shales wrote,
right,
Are you able at this point just to brush it off, or did you immediately want to come here and kill him?
It was one of those reviews, like, there's certain reviews that are, some guys just don't get it. I go, "Just because you didn't get it didn't mean it wasn't funny."
You know, I think the best part of your show so far...
We used him, by the way. We're using him in the ad campaign. We're using that review.
that's
are you really using the negative review?
Yeah, we're using that exact review in the... There's an upcoming teaser campaign about you know, all the good quotes.
Yeah.
And we use that one in two of them.
Oh, that is so funny. You know, watching that show, I would think that Stacey Keach on that show is having a blast with that role. That's got to be a fun role for him to play. Is he enjoying himself playing that?
Stacey Keach, he kept saying, you know, he keeps thanking me.
Yeah, really?
I'm like, "You're Stacey Keach, why are you thanking me?" He goes, "No, no one's ever given me a shot like this in comedy." So he's, and yet he had comedy, all this comedy training. He's a brilliant actor, man. He's like, "You're thanking me, you kidding me? You're the one that brought class to the show."
Now, the only thing I remember Stacey Keach from is that Cheech and Chong movie where he smoked all that pot and then he started eating bugs.
Sure.
And he turned into a lizard, actually.
Turned into a lizard. But when he was reading your diary, man, I was laughing out loud. You know, the show is obviously, you have mentioned when you were here the last time, you were talking about it being based on your own experiences. How close is that diary thing to
that's
real?
My dad. My dad would have driven onto the basketball court at a game and hold him a dirty
pair of my underwear for the whole school to give you kids.
That's
my dad.
Oh, that's great.
That's your dad. I have not spoken to her. My understanding that our producer has actually talked to your wife.
Right.
Can I ask you a personal question? When you got those ratings back, how was it with your wife? I mean, the night after you got your ratings back, right?
It was better than the 20 share, I'll tell you that. That's all I'm saying, gentlemen.
Bada bing!
That's right.
You know,
when the big TV star now, say it to me.
You tied it to you, man.
Where do you live? Do you live in Beverly Hills, do you?
No,
right?
We live out in the valley, man. We got a house that needs landscaping.
Oh, really? What's your street address? Oh, I'm sorry. No, we do that with all big stars.
So you live in right now just a regular house?
Yeah, actually, I had to break off where me and my real buddy Tommy are out welding up the holes in the dash of my 56 Chevy to smooth it out. I'm not kidding. I just walked in to make a phone call. Damn it, I got to call DC.
Do your neighbors know that you're Christopher Titus now?
Yeah, they've all. It's weird because I don't act like it. You know, I don't act like anything. I'm still the same guy, and they're just cool about it. But the first time they picked us up for limo at the Television Critics Association, this horrible, ridiculous, gaudy limo pulls up. I'm talking 45 feet. You know, there's like it's got a Puff Daddy hood ornament on it. It's just too big. And all the neighbors are like at the doors and windows and stuff. It was kind of bizarre.
You know, there are generic sitcom guys. They're guys that have you do not have what I would call the generic look. So, I mean, I would say that you are pretty easily recognizable. And with the success of the show, you're probably, your life has probably changed, at least for the foreseeable future, for forever. I mean, you're going to have to deal with that wherever you go.
Yeah, but it's actually, you know, it was cool. After I did your guys' show, I went to New York, and New York was, I got like these three 14-year-old girls stopped looking at NSYNC for a second enough to tell you. They were like, oh my God, Titus! And the show wasn't even on yet. And then last night, I had a guy, I was at the bookstore getting some books, and this guy just goes, hey, are you that Titus dude? And he goes, all right. And that was it. That was all he said.
That's good.
And he just walked away. I was like, yeah, cool. Nice to meet you too.
How long do you think it'll be until you become jaded and you become sick of that?
And speaking of that, I have to go now.
There you go.
But really, how long do you think it'll be until you start thinking of us, the people who watch your show, is those people who watch your show?
Yeah, you know what I noticed, man? I noticed that, because I've been around it for a long time. You know what I've noticed? I've noticed that it's the people around you that kind of get freaky. I had, like, my dad calling me up. Actually, this happened to my dad. Stacy called me, and I was talking to Stacy. Stacy goes, next time I do an interview, why don't me and your dad do it together? Which is nightmarish to me already.
Yeah, right.
But then he goes, and I go, well, let me talk to dad. So I talked to dad. I called. I go, you know, Stacy suggested that you guys would do an interview together. My dad goes, well, they're going to pay me?
That's great.
I'm like, oh, God.
Has your dad hit you up for any money yet?
Oh, yeah, I just bought him that car. I bought him that Expedition, and that was it.
Oh, that's nice of you to do that. You know, when we think of sitcom stars gone mad, you think we have a tape, that tape of Jerry Seinfeld, where Jerry Seinfeld talks about the audience as being a child, and you have to withhold things from the child, and we just hope that that never happens to you.
What is that tape? Tell me what it is.
Give me the tape, Robbie. Hold on.
You
know, at the end of Seinfeld, when everybody was really kissing his ass?
Yeah.
He's interviewed one time, and he's talking about how people are going to react to the end of the show Seinfeld.
And we always play this tape, what is our opinion, you know, a TV star gone a-hole.
Okay, listen.
Please, play it for me now, please.
All right, here is Jerry Seinfeld. Listen to this.
You have to think of the audience as a child that you're in charge of. And you have to do right by the child. And the child will ask for things that they shouldn't be given, because it'll make them ultimately less happy. It'll be a better feeling for them. They'll look back on this thing and have something that they experienced in their lives that didn't go to hell.
What an a-hole.
Wow.
What are you
I can't believe, I'm offended, frankly. the audience, to me, the audience is not children. They're weasels.
They're weasels. There, that's a much better attitude.
They need to be throwing scraps of funny. They'll leave you alone.
There you go. Absolutely.
How long have you been married to your wife?
It'd be 10 years in April, actually.
10 years. So you're pretty secure with the fact that she's with you because of who you are, not who you are now because you're a TV star.
Yeah, knock on wood, man. Yeah, if anything, she'll bring up. She's always will also drive onto a basketball court with my dirty underwear and show her.
Do you have a prenup with her?
No.
You do not. Okay.
Nope, something happens, she's taking it off.
Well, there might be new pressures on the relationship with stardom. It happens, and we recommend drinking heavily.
Okay, writing it down right now, drinking...
Heavily.
Heavily. You remember I fell into a bonfire, right?
Do you drink?
No, I fell into a bonfire when I was 17. Didn't we talk about that on the show?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I fell into a bonfire.
No, that's right. Maybe you can start again. You know, who knows?
I guess I won't be hanging out with you guys. Come on, Titus, let's go out.
You don't know how true you are about that.
So you would never say that your audience is a child and that even if their whole lives had gone to hell, the one great thing that they would have would be the show Titus, right?
It really is. I think audiences, man, I told you before, television underestimates the audience, and I think the 20 show proved it, man. You know, you can depend on them. You can depend on how smart they are, and you can really depend on that they're going to, as long as you give them funny, man, they'll be there for you.
Are you one of those guys that is in love with Jerry Seinfeld?
You know what? I have to be honest with you. I watched the show, and it was funny, but it was always the three characters. The smartest thing he ever did was surround himself with those people.
You know, that is so true. Yeah. That really
beautifully
is.
Beautifully said.
Absolutely.
And that's
great.
What I learned from him, and that's why I got Cynthia, Zach, David, and Stacey Keach. What are you kidding me? I'm not an idiot.
And it's a remarkably skilled and diplomatic answer. You're very slick with that, and we appreciate that.
Much.
Absolutely. But I'll also tell you, before we let you go.
Do you know how it doesn't take a whole lot to have someone killed? The guy's worth like $235 million.
Your TV girlfriend is also very hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Very easy on the eyes, she is.
As is my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, imagine trying to cast your wife, guys, in something. Imagine sitting there and going through 300 women trying to cast your wife.
Did you go through 300 women before you settled on the one lady to play your wife?
Yeah.
Oh, you lucky.
300 different people.
Oh.
How did you? Couldn't, I mean, there's no one that can match up to her, you know?
You know, in 300 women, I would think that at some point, some woman perhaps tried to, you know, influence you in some way. Were you? Did any women literally throw themselves at you?
No. That oddly enough, that it's happened in very subtle ways since the show debuted.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened that you know, someone just, hi Christopher, my name is Tiffany. Good to see you. Okay, why are you rubbing yourself?
Okay, that's real subtle.
You know,
right.
And please, can I get my burger and leave?
Well, Christopher, your show is, I told you this when you were here, a goddamn smash.
Great.
And we are so happy for you. Just please do us a favor, call us from time to time, you know, let us know how you're doing. We'll continue to watch the progress of your show.
You want some dirt?
Oh, yeah.
You have some dirt, yes.
Yeah, People Magazine ripped us, reamed us.
Really? What would you like to say to People Magazine?
No, I just want to point out how this business works.
Well, you know, use our show as a forum, though.
Thank
if you'd
you.
Like a rebuttal, you know, if you'd like to say...
Because I got yelled at. Everybody at Fox was freaking out on me yesterday. Because they call up People Magazine, first of all, their review reamed us.
Right.
And then we get a call after the ratings come out that People want to do a feature on you. And I just went, F them. No way. I just started going off. Like, well, you can't kick me in the groin 1 second and invite me to the party. And they're like, they were just looking at me like I was insane. And I just go, no, it's not. They have no integrity at all. And they're like, it's People Magazine. This is how the business works. I'm like, well, we didn't do the show the way it works. Screw it. I'm not doing the interview.
There you go. Good stand you. By your guns. Good I like
you.
That.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm doing it.
Oh, you rat. That's too good. Yeah. It'll be a shot of you up by the pool on page 47.
Yeah, but I also think what I did say, because they said that, Titus, you know, use them to your advantage. I said, okay, call back and you make the feature person read that review and then call me. Because I want that, you know, little bit of, hi, Mr. Titus, I'd like to apologize for the magazine.
Yeah, I suppose if you use the negative review to your advantage, it'll be a real nice piece when they do the feature.
Yeah, it'll be fine. But, man, I just, you know, it's so funny how this business is just all about, it's not about what they really believe, it's about what happens day to day.
Absolutely.
But listen, I'm hearing right now that my hero, Christopher Titus, has already sold out.
Yes, he has.
He's had a show on the air for 1 week.
Yes. Yeah, People Magazine, no less. I'm going to burn in hell for a very long time.
Yes, he has already sold out to People Magazine.
And I think it's important to point out that if we were in similar positions, we would have sold out much sooner.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God.
No doubt. Well, Christopher, don't be a stranger.
I won't, guys.
Please call us again. Good luck with your show. It kicks ass, and keep getting great ratings. Are you going to be able to keep that same great time slot, do you think?
Yeah. Well, what will happen is, it's the bad part is the show keeps doing as well as it did, they will move us.
Oh, that's too bad, because the time slot you're in right now,
mm-hmm.
it's killer, because there's nothing else on.
Yeah.
It's a great time slot.
So it's not. So we didn't get the ratings because we had a good show.
No. Is that what you're saying?
Don't be insecure.
Yeah, come on now. There's no need for that. You're going to be featured insecure. In People Magazine.
I'm
man.
Saying that helps.
Mm-hmm.
It helps not to be on against, you know, Friends.
That's right.
Yeah, well, we actually brought up that 70s show, too. You know, they've never had a rating like that. So all that promotion, and Fox did great, man. I got to thank everybody and, you know, do the thank you, ha-ha, blah-blah, thanks. because everybody really busted their ass. I mean, we have a great team. And
you know, that could you could make that your own, and it could be your signature, whether you want to do the thank you, ha-ha, ba-ba, thanks. That'll be Christopher Titus, ha-ha, ba-ba, thanks.
And Christopher, just so you know,
I just think it sounds so, you know what I always think when people get on there, all the interviews are always the same. Like, you just want to thank everybody, and the Lord was really behind me 100%. And I just want to say that we actually have a crew of 150 people that have to film a play a week, mm-hmm. and they never let it drop because, you know, I'll fire them. Besides that,
I tell you, it would bring tears to my eyes. You know, if you get that level and you're up there and you're accepting the Emmy for the show and you just look into the camera and you go, listen, I don't have much time, but I want to say ha ha ba ba thanks. All right, Christopher.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye bye. That's Christopher Titus.
Christopher Titus,
who's on Fox with a hit show that had one of the, was it the most successful debut on the Fox network?
Yeah, but it's all relevant because it's the Fox network.
Of course, I forgot.
But, you know, we do think he's funny. That first show was not the funniest slap nuts funny show we've ever seen.
No, he falls into the category of our other TV people that we know, Leah and Kevin, who are very, very funny people. And he's a funny guy, and the show's got a lot of potential.
We're just getting him on the way up.
Right. Absolutely.
We're just sinking our teeth into him right now.
We do that. That's how we do, sucking up to the TV people.
And now that you've heard his voice, and you just heard him on the telephone, let's do the comparison. That was Christopher Titus, Christopher Titus. Here is Lewis Coleman.
Do you find me, Lewis, annoying?
There are a few theories floating around Los Angeles that they may in fact be the same person.
No. Separated at birth.
Well, he's a good guy to call it a day.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, and I think he's got it in perspective for now.
Yes, he will become jaded, however.
I don't think, you have to be an incredibly strong individual not to become jaded. You turn into Jerry Seinfeld. That doesn't happen overnight. You turn into Jerry Seinfeld.
The audience is like a jock.
Imagine Christopher Titus saying that. The audience, do you find me, Christopher Titus, annoying?
Annoying.
Do you find me,
Christopher Titus,
Lewis, annoying?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Titus.
Can we meet again? Saturday was Jerry saying, be kind, be nice. And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been to it. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike.